Welcome into the Cam and Strick podcast 127.
Who'd we get on? Who the fuck did we just get on our podcast? Was it the guy that got all of us into hockey in the early 90s?
Should have been 741. Although I was already into hockey, but then when he came, like, you're a little younger than me. And
you look younger than me.
I know I do. You're a little younger, so like when he came, it got all you guys into it.
Oh god,
it got us. So that's what I mean when I say, Cam, that like when I'm in grade school, like rolling around first grade, Andy, like I put like the picture of the Creve-Coeur hockey jacket. When I say the only kid in the entire school wearing that, like nobody played hockey.
Remember I put that skiing thing up when I had fucking, holy got me in hockey.
Yeah.
And then I found out about Twister and Chaser.
Yeah.
But holy, going to McDonald's.
I know.
McDonald's, I go around twice.
No, they'd have the comic books,
oh,
dude.
Oh God, the comic books, the fucking things, the little gimmick cards, the action figures. I was obsessed with him. And it's like, I don't even know what hockey is, but I love this guy. He's handsome as fuck. Women are all over him. And I'm like, what? And then you go watch the games. And you're like, oh, there's other guys. They're tough, too. Oh, you got this fucking Tony Twist guy. And now they're all like buddies. And I'm like, this is the coolest sport I've ever seen in my life because of that shit. I went to Cardinals games, which I love. We love Billy DeWitt III. We love the ownership group of the Cardinals. We love them. We do business with them. We love them. But as far as that sport's concerned, I remember walking out Busch Stadium too, and I'm like walking around like, what, Daddy, what am I doing here? Like, what? Oh, the sky's cool. What happened? Oh, everybody's clapping. No, I don't give a fuck.
No, but it was cool back then when you had Ozzy and stuff like that.
That's
like
fine.
Doing the flip. But
okay, no, that's 80s. I'm talking like 90s, dude. In the 80s, fucking born in 84. So I'm fucking 6 years old.
But Ozzy played in the early 90s.
Ozzy's awesome. He's my neighbor, by the way.
He's
my neighbor.
He's cool. And
then the wealthy part.
And McGuire came and did his whole thing.
Dude, that's fine. It's just when you go to the
game. No, dude,
it's a completely different story.
But let me say this about the Blues, too, here in St. Louis, because they had had stars. They had all-stars.
Look, sometimes you need to get that monster that comes into your organization and takes over.
Well, sometimes you luck into it, man. You don't even know what you're getting.
Exactly.
They didn't know what they were getting. They knew they were getting a guy who had potential to be a great goal scorer. You know, if you go back and look at his numbers before he was traded here in Calgary, like, what is Calgary doing?
What
he still had 26 goals at the trade deadline, scored another six here, so he's a 30-goal scorer.
He had like 190 points
as a young kid. I know.
In like 40 games.
I know.
Something ridiculous.
I know, something crazy.
But something ridiculous. Yeah. So it's like, there's something
and
there.
And then he scores 50 and in the American League.
And you know who his dad is?
I know.
So it's like,
I know
he might be a little
pompous. Can't market Bobby Hall's son in Canada?
You can't take Bobby Hall's son and be like, yeah, maybe we can handle
in
you
in Canada,
and then figure it out with him. Fuck you, and you fucking missed out.
Yeah, but then they won the cup all of the Blues players, man.
You're always going to support Calgary. So what happened in St. Louis? What you did for St. Louis is you brought a fucking figure. You brought Brad Pitt of the hockey world here, and he's fucking cruising around where you have teenage girls that are like, oh my god, this guy's the most handsome guy I've ever seen in my life. He's outgoing, like, I love him. And then you got the monsters fucking beating people up, and you're like, oh, you got all the good old boys fucking watching them. So it's like a perfect combination of just fun players. So, Calgary, you won the cup, but thank you. You made me make a lot of money in the NHL because of Holly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
and
Calgary.
Let me say this, though. Having him around during the cup run was just such an experience, man.
Oh,
like, you'll never take that for granted. Having Brett Hall, his wife,
Darcy.
Even his kids were around for some of the games, too.
Oh, I love his kids,
and,
too.
You know, that's kind of part of it that, you know, you don't truly understand until you go through it when you see the team that you cover get to the Stanley Cup final and win the Stanley Cup is how many of the iconic figures start coming around. They're around all the time. Federer goes around
something?
All the time, too, with
his
kids.
The one thing and we talked about this before, Andy. Remember we're on the float, and the wives weren't allowed to come on the float. Remember that?
Are you talking about the parade?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like, the wives weren't allowed to come
on. Yeah, they didn't, like, trek. It was the weirdest thing in the world, which is dumb. But they didn't know. Everything was, like, happening real quick. The one thing I regret about the whole thing is I should have grabbed Kate and said, get the fuck on here real quick, girl. I don't know why I didn't do that because I was kind of like.
Well, because they said they didn't have to include you guys in the parade, though, man. And if they don't want the wives on board, then they don't want the wives on board.
Well, they're not going to include the alumni?
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
That's pretty gutless.
But they did.
Yeah, but we had like a ton of room. And I'm like, I should have just grabbed Kate. Because the poor girl had to like walk 3 miles by herself to find me wasted at the end of the parade. And I'm just like, God, you should just came on. There was all kinds of room.
Holly had his own car, man. And it was
little things
He was around. And again, he took that whole experience for the city and the fan base, man, too.
He didn't give a fuck.
At a completely higher level because of all his antics and his energy and his just absolute hilarious personality.
That's why I said to him, I go, there's a couple like videos, like everybody's like playing online, like look at Holly at 3 o'clock in the morning on Mark. I go, that's not him, you fucking morons. You think Holly's walking around at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning on Market Street? Are you fucking
yeah? But I
dumb?
Remember when that was said and whatever. I mean, I could understand why some fans would think that, but like I don't understand why anybody thought that was him.
You think Darcy's gonna let him? Like,
but all you had to do is look at the picture.
Look at the picture.
It's not him.
Well, you just look at the scenario. Mm-hmm. Like that, he ain't doing that. 3 o'clock. He's at Obi Clark's.
The We Went Blues. He tells a story here on the podcast of, you know, when he had the middle finger and flipping people off and whatever. And like,
no, he's slipping out his
I know,
buddy.
But we knew that.
We all knew that.
But like, I don't think a lot of people truly had ever heard that story.
That's what my point. Mm-hmm. So I'm like making points of like how people react to different scenarios.
Yeah.
That's not Holly. He didn't flip off the fucking Brad Marchand. Mm-hmm. He flipped off his fucking buddy or whatever.
But I've got pictures with him and my wife.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah,
video of that
with,
too
with the middle and then my wife and Darcy. Like,
were you gone out of town?
But listen, and then my wife and Darcy with the middle finger up. Everybody was taking pictures all the time with the middle finger up with Holly after he
your
did
wife
that.
And Darcy.
It became and I hey, it became
where,
and
where's
I,
that video.
It became
we post that.
It became an iconic image. You know what I'm saying? Of him with the middle finger up, dude, flipping the bird. No,
can I see the other thing?
What, the video?
The video of you, your wife and Darcy?
I that has not been released yet. That has not
you'll
been released.
You'll make some money?
I don't know. The sponsor can get Kodigo to sponsor that.
You think fucking Holly cares?
I don't know, man. But yeah, what a might. Treat, well, man. What a treat. And we don't see him as much now. Now he's chilling in Nashville doing his thing.
He's great, man.
But, you know.
He had a lot of energy, man.
We, listen, it's so funny because like Holly's a guy who you got to get on, and obviously we know him, and we just knew eventually it would happen.
Yeah,
and we've tried a couple times, and
we got him.
It just wasn't the right timing. Like he wasn't at home; he was going to be in the car, or he was going to be at the golf. I'm like, no, we can't do it like that,
man.
So this works out for all y'all out there.
Yeah, we did. We did. You
this
guys,
works out perfect.
We could have had Holly for like 30
minutes.
Because
he was chilling out. You know what I'm saying,
Andy? Remember we talked about this? I go, "Where's he at?" You're like, "I don't know." I go, is he on a fucking golf course? Like, goddamn Mike Babcock. He's like, I don't think so. I go, okay, is he at an event? He's like, I don't think so. I text him. He didn't text me back. Like, sometimes, like, he's just that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, is he? And he was full of energy. He's at his house. Darcy's in the background, which is, like, the best thing in the world because she's knows how to, like, remember things, kind of like my wife does. And he just was perfect, man. And he let it out for us, and this is what we got. And I love it, man.
But see, I know I'm going to sit around tonight. I'm gonna text him or I'm going to text you and I'm going to say, man, I can't believe I didn't ask you this. Or I can't believe I didn't ask him this. You know, there's something
I know
that I'm going to say, something. Why? How did I forget to ask
him? We had him on for an hour and 20 minutes.
No notes in front of us. Like, we're just having the conversation.
We know enough about him, Andy. You know? We don't need to fucking write down shit. Like, I had my shit down and we asked him. Like, we wanted to know about a couple big things, but fuck, is he the best? Mm-hmm. He's the best. And he doesn't give a fuck. Darcy's awesome. His kids are cool as shit. Like, he's just, I don't know. He was great, man.
People say Ovechkin, greatest goal scorer they've ever seen, man. And listen, that's to this generation, you know, but Brett Hall, the greatest goal scorer that I've ever seen, man, just in terms of
watching him play. Imagine Holly in 92, right? And he's got 86 on his belt. What the fuck are you saying to him? Like, what the fuck are you saying to him when he's in training camp? Or when he's doing this.
And he's making the team so much money.
He's making the McDonald's.
Gives you a new building.
You have children and families rolling around McDonald's just to get his cup. Just, they're buying more food and like going in rotations like a fucking circle just to buy action figures of Brett Hall. Everybody was obsessed with him. He was the biggest, he was the most iconic person at that time. I mean, I don't know anybody bigger than Brett Hall at the time. Even when hockey wasn't even that big here, Brett Hall was the biggest figure. He's bigger than Ozzy. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
I see Ozzy all the time. Mm-hmm. He lives in my neighborhood because I'm in a wealthy part of Franklin County, unlike you. Ozzy lives in my neighborhood. He doesn't talk. He's very, very subdued. He's very stoic. I love that guy. But Brett Hall was a figure, and he was loud, and he had that blonde mullet. He was the biggest motherfucker in this town ever, besides Mark McGwire.
Yeah, but I'll say this, though. McGwire, man, he was
McGwire had the biggest...
McGwire would hide. McGwire was a dick.
He was a dick.
He wasn't a nice guy. He wasn't likable.
You're right.
Holly could be, man, but Holly would
but
also...
But he was fun dick. He was a fun dick. Man. Just like you like, Andy. Mm-hmm. He was a fun dick. Meaning, he will get... No, my point is on that. Like, kind of Pronger is. So here's the difference. Here's my point. Nothing weird. Mm-hmm. He was a fun dick.
Yeah.
Meaning... He would do the interviews afterwards and sit there and be like, what, motherfucker? Mm-hmm. What do you, like, just like Pronger did in the alumni box. Oh my God, it was the cutest thing in the world. We were in the alumni box the other night. Poor little Kate was next to me, the only female. And then I go, Andy, get the fuck up here. All the buddies. Andy comes in and they start torturing Andy, of course. They love him. And then Prong starts torturing Andy. Like, what the fuck? And Andy's like, let me ask you something. He's like, get over there. Like, you guys are going back and forth. I'm like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Where, here's my point. Is like, Holly would do that. Prongs would do that. Go back and forth with you, Andy. Where Ozzy and Mark McGwire, or maybe not Ozzy, but Mark McGwire wouldn't even talk to you. No. He'd just stay in the fucking back room till 4 o'clock in the morning and wouldn't say a word to anybody. So there's a difference. So Holly and Mark McGwire were the same big boy together, but Holly would be like, what do you fucking want to know? Mm-hmm. Fuck this.
But Holly would never be a dick like that. He wouldn't like...
No, but he would say what he wanted to say, where McGwire would hide from you. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. You get my drift?
Oh, yeah.
People thought McGwire was the biggest dick in the world.
But he wasn't a man of the people.
No.
He didn't love to hang out.
He didn't hang out. He didn't talk. He spoke robotic.
I know what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying?
Because McGwire and it's the Cardinals and whatever, and when he was doing the home run chase and whatever, before everyone realized humongous. He was juicing, he was so big.
Humongous.
Like, all over the world and
he was
whatever.
Humongous.
But during Holly's heyday, man, I mean, I don't know, man. He's right there. I don't know if there's anybody ever than Holly.
Everywhere you went was Holly. Everywhere. Fucking billboards.
Remember they had those
everywhere.
Videos from the tire store? Did you ever get the videos?
With Todd? With Todd? Like, I told you. So I want to tell this story real quick. So my mom and dad, we have a lake house with a family-owned lake house. It wasn't that nice. It was a little cabin at Lake Ozarks I've had for years.
You're a cake eater. See, you try to act like you go on ski trips, you have a lake house.
My parents took a loan out for that ski trip, you fuck.
Really?
Yeah, they did. So we had a little cabin at Lake Ozarks before it was expensive. And so my dad's like, Cam, I have a surprise for you at the Lake Ozarks. We're going down there this weekend. He picks me up in like third grade. At Cedar Springs Elementary School in House Springs. Fucking Hoosierville. That's what the fuck I did. He picks me up. I remember my mom and dad walk in the room, and they pick you up in the room. So it's like, we have a surprise for you. I'm like, what is it, Daddy? Is it a go-kart? What is it, Daddy? And he's like, shut up. I'm taking it down there. I'll show you. I'm like, what is it? So we go down, like, it was like, unpack. We get in the boat. We go to about 20 miles away in the Lake Ozarks, way upriver. We find this little cove with this big old boat. He goes, here's your surprise. I go, we got a big boat? He's like, no, it's in a boat. So we cruise down, and I'm like, me and my cousins are like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, this motherfucker walks out of the cabin on this badass boat with this mullet on. I go, oh, he goes, look, there's your surprise. It's Brett Hall in the middle of a fucking cove. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so he's like jumping in the water, fucking doing this thing. And I remember going over there as a kid. And my parents had this little like thing. And I drew a picture of him at the, what's that bank that he did all his commercials?
Boatman's Bank.
So I drew him a picture of him.
Nobody knows what the fuck we're talking about right now.
It's an old bank commercial that Holly would do. And I drew a picture of it. And I'm like, hi, Brett. And I'm like a six-year-old kid. And I go, here's my picture. He goes, oh, thanks. And he crumples it up and throws it away right in front of me. And I'm like, oh. And then we go.
Crumples up right in front of your face. Goes,
oh, thank you.
Just crushes your dreams.
And I'm like, oh. But then he jumps in the water with me and hangs out with me. Mm-hmm. And I have like floaties on. And he's like, talk to me. What the fuck is this? Yeah. I thought it was a go-kart. And it was Brett Hall. But he crumpled up my fucking thing, which could be worth like $1 million by now.
Jesus, oh, man.
That's what I do.
What a personality, though. You don't have too many personalities. I know. Like, everyone's afraid to be a personality.
Fucking robot.
And not many people could get away with being him. Like, you got to be...
You can score like, you got,
you got to score 86.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Like, otherwise, you just can't do it.
Like, hey, guys, I'm cool. No, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You got 6 goals in fucking 350 games.
Yeah, that was cool, man. So. Even at, like, an advanced age, man. Like, I've been around these guys for, long enough now. But you still, like, you get excited when you talk
about his mohawk. People were asking about, we should have asked him about his fucking hair. Oh, we did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we did ask.
Looks like Bert.
Like his Burnt hair. Hairy. No, he's got like a sick haircut. Darcy's cutting his hair, like shaving it and just leaving the top.
He looks like Mad Max.
And it looks a little bleached.
It does. It's gray, like white. Or bleached. He looks good, though.
White hair. He does look good.
Looks good, man.
He is the perfect person to have, like, be your, like, salesperson, entertainer.
Imagine you're a big company, like, and you're trying to sell something, and Brett Hall shows up with that mohawk. You're like, sold. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, there you go.
But he's in Nashville, but it's still an NHL city. So teams and people are coming through nonstop.
Oh, dude.
And all the country music stars. So, man.
And as he should, man, when he scores 741.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, a few things before we get to the interview. It's a long one. I don't know if we should, like, break it into two parts or just leave it as one. We'll leave it as one. I thought I'd get a reaction from you the other day with all the talk about Taylor Hall trying to come to St. Louis, dude. Like, what is he trying to do here?
Well, he's trying to meet up with your wife again, have another baby.
I kind of put that out on Twitter. I, like, took it down. I'm like, I don't think people understand.
They don't get it yet.
What
they
I'm saying. No,
don't say Taylor Hall's banging your butt.
Well, I didn't say that. He's not.
Oh, he did.
I just said something like, Cam thinks he's the father of my son.
He looks like it.
But then people thought I meant that. You think you're the father of my son? I was like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm talking about Taylor Hall.
What happened 8 years ago?
But the dude's got like 2 goals on the season, and people think that. And they want like a high pick. I don't know. I heard first round pick or something crazy. Like, what?
He's got.
You think Doug Armstrong's going to give a first for a guy with 2 goals? Like, maybe a fifth.
Yeah, no shit.
So don't come at me if I'm wrong if the Blues give up a 5th round pick for Taylor Hall. But they're not giving what they want. And I don't even think he like fits in here.
I don't think he does either, man.
He's not a winner. I mean,
we need winners.
I like Taylor Hall. He careered it 1 year.
Justin Williams?
He won the Hart Trophy. Obviously, he's been a good player. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a good player, but he's not having a good year. Like, how good is he? I don't know.
He's kind of one-dimensionally fast, and he's got good skill, but he's not making. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck he is.
Jack Eichel, he's having a down year. I'd give up a first for him.
I would too.
So, but not Taylor Hall. No.
Taylor
not
Hall,
so
just,
much.
You haven't done anything for me, man. Like, you're sexy when you need to be sexy, but you're not sexy when I want you to be sexy.
One thing, like, I see these teams make crazy moves and whatever. That's one thing the Blues typically don't do. And if they do, it's on a very short term. No, it's on a very, I'm talking about now, like Army. Okay, he may sign Mike Hoffman, but if he does, it's going to be to a 1-year deal. He's not giving him term and, like, whatever. We'll see how it goes.
Thank God,
I called that before the season started, by the way.
We both did, dude.
Like, how is this going to go? Is he going to fit? But again, low risk for a 1-year deal. When you look at the money he was asking for early in free agency versus what he ultimately got, you wait till the very end. Okay.
I know. No, I get it, man. I said that they should have got fucking Hoffy whenever his girl was doing all that shit up there, and it was all fucking crazy, and he went to San Jose and went to Florida. It was like, grab the motherfucker now.
Apparently that was misinterpreted.
It doesn't matter. It's still going on, so you can get him for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the case is, like, we don't...
Scored goals in Florida. I'm not going to, like, knock him that he didn't
score.
I'm just
saying, as far as value is concerned.
But here, my thought was, okay, just knowing Chief a little bit, Otter, those guys, man, on the bench, like...
Like, you can control
I don't know if he's going to be a good fit. But he still may end up being, like, there was a stretch where he had something like 10 or 11 points in 10 games, something like that. So you never know. He may end up still scoring big goals for this team
maybe
down the stretch.
I hope so.
He's a proven goal scorer.
Yeah.
That's one thing he's proven he can do in this league. He can score goals.
The thing is, no one on the podcast cares about Mike Hoffman and the Blues. So it's like,
well,
whatever.
He was a healthy scratch. So it got attention like all over the place. When
I just don't think people from Saskatchewan give a fuck about Mike Hoffman.
Well, people think they know all these guys. Sometimes you don't really know them until
you just don't know
see
them. Exactly. No shit.
You're like,
isn't that funny?
What?
So everybody's like, well, this guy does fuck off. Have you seen him fucking live for 20 fucking games? No. So shut the fuck up.
I don't know, man.
Like, seriously. Like, on anybody, you're like, well, I heard this guy. Well, see him live and see what happens.
Dude, I'm still concussed a little bit, and the allergies, dude, the combination of the two, it's just messing me up, dude. I can't take it.
Well, then crawl into a hole.
No, I need to be at a high elevation.
Hey, don't worry.
Up in the mountains.
It's all good. I'll take Ty fucking rollerblading so you can get good at
hockey. I took him yesterday, too. Took him yesterday, too.
Well, you should take him. It's a beautiful fucking day. Go fucking stick handle
okay,
with
them, but here's
dude.
The deal, though.
You got your goddamn ceiling fan. You got all this shit in your fucking basement. Yet every time I call you, I don't hear stick handling.
Oh, dude.
I don't
we
hear
played
sh-
again
no, no, no,
last
I'm
night.
I'm just saying. Every time you fucking call me,
every
I don't hear
night.
It.
We play
I don't
every
hear
single
it.
Night.
So if my dad had a cell phone back in the day, mm-hmm. you'd hear stick handling.
Well, I don't take
all,
pictures every time.
If my dad had a cell phone back in the mid-90s.
And I sure as hell I'm not on the phone when we're playing. We're down there every
you're
night,
you're on
dude.
The phone every second of the day.
Not at 9 o'clock
and I don't
night,
hear the stick
sometimes.
Handling. Sometimes I do, and I'm like, good yeah. for you, but sometimes yeah. I don't.
No, we were
like,
down there
do?
Last night. We went rollerblading. Here's the problem, though. It's getting hot. There's no such thing as like a spring here, except the allergies are terrible. It gets hot, like, really quickly. And I kind of gear him up. At this age, even when we're rollerblading, he's got full gear on, you know?
Well,
like,
yeah. No,
he falls.
Fall.
And,
yeah, no shit.
And, like, it doesn't hurt.
That's
and whatever.
Fine.
But it's hot.
So sweat it out.
That's what he says.
It's hot. It's 65 degrees outside. Yeah. What are you going to do in the summertime?
I took a picture.
Are you going to hide?
Yesterday.
It's too hot out, Ty. He's like, I don't give a fuck, but I'm too hot. Don't be a pussy.
No.
No, seriously.
He's not.
He's not. No, he's not.
He's not.
You are. It's not about him. It's about you taking him out. So, like, he doesn't give a fuck if it's hot with his equipment on. Get him a fuck outside and roll around. Mm-hmm. Get him sweating. It's about you being a fancy leg, because now you got to go home and
oh,
shower.
Oh, no, man, I love it.
Then I got to go home, and I got to do things. I got things to tweet out. I can't hang out with Ty. Bullshit. Mm. Take him outside and sweat the fuck out.
What'd you
I'm
think?
Looking at your fucking body right now anyway. Weak grass, motherfucker.
Pretty good. It's pretty good, eh? What'd you think being,
I don't know.
What'd you think,
take your shirt off.
What'd you think being at the game the other night?
Oh, man.
I mean, I know obviously it wasn't under great circumstances
all right,
and all
me,
that.
You know, you're going to ask me a question. Let me answer it. Mm-hmm. Chaser, all those guys, Twister, you guys did a great job. Caruso, Trevor Nickerson, mm-hmm. Blues, you did a fucking awesome job with Bobby Plager. You did a fucking awesome
and
job.
And listen,
Bruce Affleck gritting everybody together.
And let me say this real quick before
pump
you
pump up
continue,
everybody. You need pump up.
Because they did a great job.
Great job.
Capturing so many moments
so
with
many.
Bobby.
They did.
Late in his life that we can now have to hang on to forever.
Forever. We all have that, mm-hmm. okay? They did a great job without 20,000 people there mm-hmm. crying at once.
And it's not their fault.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
And they know that, right? It's
they
not their fault.
That.
Nothing,
I'm looking,
nothing they can do about it.
I'm just want to watch the Jumbotron and see Bobby and hang out with Chaser and Twister.
But again, the fact
you
that we have hockey
and Pronger
is...
yelling at you the whole fucking time.
I chirped him for a sweater
oh
vest, though.
Oh, my God. Prongs was dressed like such a fucking nerd. Then he's beaking you. Then I get to like kind of stick up for you. But
did
then
you?
He's chirping you so bad where I'm like agreeing with him. The biggest, again, you getting hit by Bobby in that fucking alumni game. Your stupid motherfucking head up your fucking ass. You were going down the board like, what do I do? Oh God, Bobby laid you out and just stood over you like you're a bitch. And hey. You're like, you look, there's a, get a picture of that and post it. Mm-hmm. Not the video, the picture of
the
him
face.
Looking down on you like mm-hmm. he owns hey, your, and you're like this, what happened?
I got to show you, I got to show you though.
Fuck.
So when I used to do this radio show at Johnny Mac's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And
this microphone's loud as fuck.
And I used to have a different player come each and every week live. People would come get autographs and whatever. People
from
would love
you?
It when Bobby. Oh yeah. Well, you no. came to the show once or twice.
They didn't know who you were. They came for me.
That's how I hooked I mean, you up. Well, honest. Dude, for I mean, 10 years straight. You think about that. I mean, who else bringing players? From
you
OSHI,
did do that. No,
OSHI,
no,
GMs, owners,
you.
Man, like live to get autographs. Like
yeah, I got you.
And to watch a radio show. Like, we packed the house.
Yeah.
Like, police...
Tons of hot women in there, too.
Well, police... When OSHI came...
Oh, my God. Different story.
Dude, we would have to have a police escort.
I know.
It was like Justin Bieber,
who's
honestly.
Bigger than OSHI? Seriously, besides Holly? Besides him?
Nobody?
Seriously.
I mean it.
As far as, like, the girls, I've seen, like...
In terms of, like, when they walk into a bar... And OSHI wasn't even here that long. And he wasn't even like
I saw
as good as he is
crazy.
Now. You know what I'm saying?
Dude.
Well, you know what I mean? He was still really,
I'm like,
really good.
Which one of y'all don't want him?
But he turned into like a...
Because me and EJ over here like
superstar. Turned into a superstar when he went
hey,
to
hey, girls, you can't all get him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Who's gonna opt out first? Because EJ and I are over here like waving
hey,
at you.
You want to know who the next biggest yeah. star was besides Hole and OSHI?
Who?
Whoever was hanging out with OSHI.
No shit. Hi.
They're just waving. But we'd have to have a police escort for the fans. Anyway, so I'd have like a a different the player, like Johnny Max had a Blues jersey for the players to sign and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so everybody signed it to cover up the whole jersey. And I was looking at it the other day. I wanted to see what Bobby wrote, and he just wrote, "Keep your head up.
Sit your fucking ass down. You are
sit your ass down."
Andy, I watched that video. Oh, and I want people to see it because your head was so far up your fucking ass. And I just it pisses me off how
I lost the puck. It was a charity game. I wasn't expecting to get hit. It was the most embarrassed
from him. Are you out of your mind?
He was 63.
Just like when I don't give a fuck. Just like when Chaser fucking hit you. Just like when I hit you. Get your goddamn
Chaser was cheap. Yours was dirty.
Your head.
His was dirty. Yours was up cheap.
Your fucking ass every fucking time. When are you going to figure it out? When are you going to figure it out? You got the trifecta now. Is there somebody else that's going to hit you? Is it going to be Josh Dunn now coming into the fucking... Who's going to fucking hit you next? Get your fucking
Patty,
head up.
Patty.
And put, Patty's going to fuck you up one of these days. And he's going to do it, and he's going to film it, too. Phil's going to film it from the goddamn stand. Oh, I love... Oh, Andy, I, hey, Kate and I watch
it. It's a badge of honor, man. It's a badge of honor.
You, the look that you gave him, like, woo-hoo! And he's just looking at you like, get the fuck on. Mm-hmm. I love it.
But he would not let that die.
He loves you, dude.
Ever,
he loves you, dude. Ever. Like, he does ever. Love you.
He went on.
Like, he loves you, man. Like, he does.
All right, this interview with Brett Hall.
Yes. Who's he again?
The Golden Brett. Isn't that weird how, Blues, that, right? How that works out, too? Because yeah. His dad was called the Golden Jet, and he's the Golden Brett. I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, some people, things are just... Well, Andy, people just do that.
This show is brought to you by CarShield.
Yeah. Goddamn right it does.
And CarShield.com.
Yeah, they saved me one time.
I know they did.
In front of, oh, God, I still got embarrassed.
I know you did. I know you did. All right, 800-857-2481. 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM. You're going to save 10%. CarShield, get that protection today. Don't wait.
God!
Do not wait.
Don't wait.
Otherwise, it's going to be too long.
Imagine you're wheeling some chick.
I know.
And all of a sudden, your starter goes
out. Yeah, you can't imagine that, but whatever. Yeah, okay. What? Go ahead.
What was that? What was that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I no idea what that
You know
means.
When you can imagine that?
400 on my
You know,
belt.
You want to know when 400 you want to know when you can imagine that?
And I stopped doing it for like 2 years.
And by
years.
The way, you choose your own mechanic and all that.
True
you
that.
Choose where to go. CarShield.com. Don't wait for your engine to go out. And then
or
all
your
of a sudden,
starter.
Yeah. But you want to know when you can imagine wheeling it. When you have
Excuse
some,
me?
When you have some
Do you know what that means?
When you have some blue chew. Yeah.
No. Oh.
Dude, you need some blue chew.
Hey, it doesn't even give you a headache. You want to be a sexual tyrannosaurus, and your girl's like, "Oh, can we make love tonight?" You're like, "Oh, sure, yeah, we can." And you fucking do that. She's like, "Oh my word!"
Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve. This is just-
sexual performance. I'll explain it, motherfucker.
To combat Jesus all Christ. Forms,
you chew
of,
it too. It's the best.
ED,
dude, you don't
do
get
you
a
deal with ED.
Goddamn right.
Do you?
I mean,
I'm
like,
glad you're open about.
No, no, no.
That.
I'll explain it. I'll blow my load in 2 seconds.
Oh,
or
is that ED?
I'm not into it
is that
because
ED?
I'm off testosterone now too for about 6 months.
Okay,
so I'm not horny anymore.
Ah,
but if I take this shit,
it helps you.
I'm like, hey girl, get your own over here. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to take a shower? Go ahead, clean up. Okay. I'll clean up too. That's fine. But we're gonna make love tonight, and you're probably gonna sleep for 48 hours. Mm.
You know
and
what?
It's lovely.
It gives you confidence to in the bedroom, man. You gotta have confidence. You gotta have confidence on the ice, off the ice, and in the bedroom, man. If you don't have confidence,
boy, do you like your relationship?
Andy Murray doesn't believe in confidence.
No, he doesn't.
He may believe in this type of confidence.
Is he taking care of business in the bedroom?
No,
why not?
He may believe in this confidence.
I'm
you don't
just
like
letting you know.
You don't like pills. Don't worry about it. These are chewable.
You chew them. It's like fucking Flintstone vitamins.
I know.
But you get a fucking straight up boner.
Hey, they're made in the USA. They deliver them to your doorstep, discreet box. The neighbors won't even know. The postman
who gives
won't
a
know.
Fuck about it? Have the neighbors fucking know.
And you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to wait in the pharmacy line. Like this
that
is too
sucks.
Good to be true.
Damn
and
right.
You want to know what else? I mean, seriously, like people, it's free.
Hey. Take one of those and have sex with your wife and then ask her the next day, hey, did you like that? And she's going to be like, oh, my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, yeah.
Bluetooth.
Or do you
dot
like
com.
To go for fucking 2 minutes yeah. or 30 I seconds know. Like I usually do, like a pathetic piece of shit.
Yeah. That's on you.
It's embarrassing.
You.
Oh, you're
you need,
oh, yeah,
no,
you though. I'm looking at
this.
You right now.
No, you need some of
kidding.
This. That's bluechew.com. Check
Taylor
it out.
Hall coming through.
Again, Bluetooth, promo code CAM. You'll receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew.
Oh, you're going to save your marriage.
For sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And you know, you can still blow your load too, by the way.
You said saving your marriage. I want to save your kids, man, from going to the ER. That's what I want to save them from. because
what about my kids? I don't even have kids.
Well, I know
what
that.
Are you talking about?
But skate lacerations are the number one cause of injury.
Great segue.
Of injury that send kids to the hospital, yeah, to the emergency room, dude.
You put tie on? Did you get tie on that shit?
Oh, he's got the daredevilhockey.com.
I wore it the other night, by the way.
Okay, I want to tell people what this is, though, because I've been talking to the people with Daredevil. I need more of y'all to step up and like hook this stuff up, because you mentioned the promo code Cam and Strick right now. Cam and Strick, all caps, you're going to save 25%. This is a no-brainer if you play men's league hockey, or if you have kids that are playing hockey, or maybe you're a professional hockey player who's listening to this podcast. You better make sure you're protected. Don't be one of these guys that's going to the damn emergency room with a skate laceration.
Don't waste 6 months out of your career because somebody fucking dinged you with a skate where you could have had Kevlar there. But I put that shit on, and it was unbelievably comfortable. I don't need a guard belt anymore. I still wear my jock. You put your jock right in the little cup thingy. Mm-hmm. You don't really need one because, of course, we all know why. But then you put your thing down. You has Velcro.
Yes, it does.
It's unbelievably comfortable.
And it's lightweight.
It's so lightweight.
You have it on.
Andy, I swear to God, you'll feel the Kevlar parts where the vital organs are and the veins.
Yeah.
You don't even know it's Kevlar.
No,
I swear to God.
It's lightweight compression base layer designed with Kevlar cut-resistant fabric overlay.
It's
so again, cut-resistant. I know some of these other companies have made cut-resistant, and it's proven to be not cut-resistant. This is truly cut-resistant.
So good, dude.
This isn't that socks, the socks gimmick that people threw out there a few years back, and guys like Eric Carlson and these guys are still missing like significant time with serious cut skate lacerations because the Kevlar socks don't work. This is completely different. Check out daredevilhockey.com. Get all the information that you're looking for, and take your game to the next level while being protected. That's why this is so important. Daredevil Hockey, promo code Cam and Strick, and you'll save 25%.
That's a big deal.
Cam and Strick, you're going to save 25%, so be sure to check that out. All right, Bellman.com, Dan Bellman, Bellman.com, BehlmannN.com, Cadillac Buick GMC, on one side of the street, on the other side, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. How pumped is Dan Bellman for this conversation?
Oh, he loves that. He's taking that fucking Dodge Dually, cruising around.
Yeah, he probably picked something cooler. He's got something cooler.
Hanging down the bottom of that bad boy.
But anyway, get that Escalade, get the Yukon, man. You can get a Buick Enclave, dude.
I'll take that
Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. They have so many options for you. And the customer service is unlike anything you're going to experience at any car dealership in North America.
It's classy. I'm not even going to say it.
No, it is. Classy. It is very classy. No and swinging, everybody knows that.
No swinging dicks.
No, they have
nothing. I'm not going to say it, Andy.
Yeah, no.
There's no swinging dicks.
All right, keepithandsome.com. Yep. That's what we're doing. I was getting dressed in the closet today, and my wife comes in there.
Oh, did she dress you again?
No, but she said, wow, you smell good. True story.
Well, you don't even have BO because you haven't gone through puberty yet.
No, she's like, wow, you smell good. I'm wearing my Fight Ugly hoodie today. Cam wears it every day. I'm wearing it today. Mention the promo code Cam and Strick. You're going to save 15%. You got the shampoo, you got the conditioners, you got the hair gels.
The hair gels smell really good.
Oh, then that's what I use. And I use the.
You could still do that, but the beard moisturizer, you know.
No, I use the beard moisturizer.
Yeah, but you don't have a beard, though.
And the head balm. Yeah, but you don't have a. Those are my three go tos.
Andy, you don't have a beard. Why are you doing that?
Well, Today I do. I didn't shave yet today.
It's like my wife has.
But it just makes you feel so good. It gives you a little extra bounce in your step.
You look
manly
today.
Well, bounce in your step. I'm ready to go. Okay. You know, when you get those.
Don't waste the fucking boy.
You get those fire emojis from your wife. Like, I get those, like, late at night. Little fire emojis.
I don't think you did.
Oh, I do. I get the fire emojis.
I think that's from, like, one of your fucking buddies that you're texting all night. Scoop in North Carolina.
She a little keep it handsome fire emoji. Hey, get that Fight Ugly hoodie. Mention the promo code Cam and Strick. Like I said, you're going to save 15%. And check out the hats they have up there, too.
So nice, man.
And a portion of the proceeds go back to the Montreal Resource Center, which fights bullying.
Oh, God.
We hate all the bullies.
Although, you got to take care of the bullies, too, man. There's a reason why they're probably a bully, man. You got to see where they probably got fucking beat up by their daddy and shit. So,
well, you don't know that. You say that. Like, stop making excuses. Some people are just assholes, man. That's just
no doubt
the
about
bottom
it.
Line.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes.
Sometimes.
You could, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes you're a fucking bully.
Sometimes.
Hey, you don't have to be 6'5" and piss on people to be a bully. But you could be a fucking little guy like you.
Sometimes
and still be a
you can
bully.
Grow up in a terrible environment and be a good person, too.
Well, sometimes you could grow up in a terrible environment and be a fucking terrible person because of the environment.
That's all I'm
saying. So you just got to understand.
All I'm saying is keep it handsome.
Just keep it handsome. But sometimes you got to like fucking see what's going on and talk to the guy.
I got it. Keep it handsome, dude.
I'm talking to you sometimes. Like, you bully me all the fucking time. I'm
sick
of it.
Oh, really? Really? I mean, you put my head through the glass.
Well, you're lucky You're lucky I didn't really hurt you on that one.
I drove the wrong side of the highway on the highway. Like, well, heading home, I didn't even know where I was.
Did you film it? Because that would have been hilarious to put on fucking social media.
Don't ever do that again.
Dude, keep your fucking head up.
No, that's don't, just don't do that again.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not invited out there
just
anymore.
Just don't do that again.
We don't need little boys out there anymore. We need grown men that have shoulder pads on.
Victor Hockey, they've got unbelievable stuff, too. And the T-shirts, the hats. We've got the Victor Hockey Cam and Strick hats available at camandstrick.com. Yeah. So Adam continues to make it happen and put good stuff together. All right. That's the business side of it. This is a great interview.
Great interview.
You want to laugh. You want to chill. Enjoy yourself. Like, I don't blame you. Listen, if it's early morning, you want to get it out of the way and listen now. I'm not going to tell you not to. But, like, if it's nighttime, dude, pour yourself a little cocktail. Yeah. Light up a cigar.
Get your fucking
and
mind.
Just chill.
And let us entertain
and
you.
And you will laugh.
Let's entertain
you. Will laugh for the next hour plus.
That's what we do. That's
with what we Holly. Do. What's his Instagram?
I don't know. I told you it was him, motherfucker.
Well, I mean, like me, I had to tell you.
When Darcy is him.
He didn't even know, though.
Yes, he did.
Enjoy this.
Listen to him. You tell me.
Brett Hall on the Gamestrick Podcast.
What up, big dog?
How you doing?
Where are you? Like, what are you doing right now? Paint the picture. Are you looking out the window? Are you on the deck? Are you chilling by the
pacing,
pool?
Pacing around my house.
Which house? Are you in Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville.
You like it there?
Yeah.
Good golf courses. Like, you got, like, are you outside?
I live right on the Troubadour Ninth Hole private golf community.
Oof. Are you a working man? Like, do you still work for them? Like, do you have to be somewhere every morning?
No, I do not. I help sell property, play golf with people and shit.
Oh, okay. So, like, if you, like, hey, go talk to these people, let's go play 18 holes, you know, snooze, do your shit.
Yeah, have some cocktails and shit.
Some fucking Kodigo.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the price tag? What's the price tag, Holly, to build on there and to belong?
It's going up in 2 days. It went from 60,000 to 100,000, but it's 80% equity, and it grows, right? So the 80% of 60 is now 80% of 100. So you've already paid for your original membership with that, right? When you sell your place. And then cheapest lot is $1 million, and it goes up from there.
Perfect. How many your big dogs are just like knocking on your door? I mean, are you like...
Dude, we've sold almost $200 million of property in the time we've been here.
How do you have time to do that with all the hockey you watch?
What's hockey? I swear to God, I bet you I've watched less than a combined 10 minutes of hockey.
What team? What team?
Well, if I'm sitting at a bar and it's on, so there, like, we watched the last four minutes of the Rangers Washington game, having lunch at the bar yesterday. And
you travel?
Haven't seen a shift of the Blues.
Oh, yeah, well, it's probably for
I'll let Cam break it down for you.
Well, I mean, it's not fun right now. I'll tell you that right. Fuck, it's not fun, Holy. But, like, what are you doing?
I think it's the same for every fucking team, except for a few, right?
Yeah, no
100%.
Shit.
Hey,
could you imagine?
Like, I see the scores. Like, the Predators can't beat anybody, and then now they've rattled off five in a row. Like, so it's...
Yeah, but when he says it's not
fun. The Blackhawks started hot, and now they can't win a game to save their lives.
Well, it's like every team's going through different phases because the whole fucking season sucks in a nutshell. Yep. Like, you can't do shit. Yep. Your family's they're not watching you. There's no one cheering. So it's like we're fucking bored now. Then you go like 2-16. So that's how it is.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Hey, Holly, listen, when you're as good as you were and you stop playing – what are you doing? Are you mowing the lawn?
No.
What is going on out there over there? Jesus.
No, we play golf.
Oh, okay. So listen, when your career's over, like, you're as good as you are, like, can you cut the cord right away? Was there ever a time for you where you, like, really missed it?
Never. See, but there's guys that are lucky, right? There's guys like me that, you know, rarely got hurt, lucky enough to win. Had all the personal success in the world. And when it was time to retire, and you get those poor bastards that, you know, they get to, you know, like, I doubt that Eric Lindros is not, like, he wishes he could still be out there because he didn't get to do a lot of the things he wanted to because of his concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there's very few of us who can say, you know, it's like Gretzky, you know, except for the fact that he loves hockey more than anything in the world and would love to still play. You know, he did everything, you know, he achieved everything. So I doubt he misses it in that way, like Messier. But then there's people like, you know, Brendan Morrow, who, you know, he just got so beat up playing that like he had to retire. Right. And sometimes the game catches up on you and you just, I'm fortunate and I feel real bad for the guys that they can't go back out there, but that's all they wish they could do.
Well, aren't you like, well, who cares? Why don't you go play hockey and enjoy your wealth and enjoy your freedom and you don't have to work out anymore and you can do whatever the fuck you want. And you know what? The things that you miss in hockey are hanging out with the guys anyway, so call your fucking buddies up and go hang out with them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, the people that, you know, hit the bottle or get hooked on drugs or whatever because they've got mental issues with missing it and stuff. I don't feel sorry for those guys because, you know, there's so many things you can do. And, you know, I certainly don't need to be doing this, but it's not hard. I play golf almost every day and it's like free money and it's a reason to get up.
Yeah.
And do stuff every day. And if you don't keep your mind working, I mean, I'm 56. You know, if you don't keep going, you get old fast.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want.
No, you can't do that. Your hair is sick right now,
you
by the way.
Good.
Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does ever since the pandemic. Once a week, we get on the patio and she throws the trimmers out there and takes her down.
Hey, you know you have the coolest wife too, by the way.
Yeah, she is.
We love her. Yeah. My wife loves her too, man.
Everybody does it.
There's got to be something wrong with her though if she stays married to me.
Hey, listen, when you went and played in Arizona, you and Wayne were such good buddies. Like, when did you know? Did you know like right away, okay, this isn't fun. Yeah. I'm not the same Brett Hall that people want to see.
Yeah, I was a little impatient. But, you know, when in the first, like, what did I play? 5 games? In the first 3 of those 5 games, we had 6-on-4s down a goal at the end of the game, and I never saw the ice. And I'm like, well, if I can't do that, then I can't do anything. I'm done. And so I was.
But would you go knock on his door? Would you go knock on Wayne?
No,
come on now.
No, God, no. He was. You know, when I quit after the 5th game, we went and had breakfast the next morning, and he's just like, "I get what you're doing," but he goes, he probably should have been more communicative, both of us, but he was like, "I was just letting you creep into the season and that." It's like, you know, didn't play, you know, the whole season before was washed, and, you know, he goes, "We were terrible to begin with, so." You know, but it was just like, it wasn't fun. I didn't want to be there. I'm not a huge fan of Arizona to begin with, but so it was a good idea that didn't go so great.
Yeah. Well, but
it was not anything against Wayne. It was both. I wasn't really prepared to play.
Like,
either.
Did you even like train in that 0-4 lockout? And like when you,
yeah, went, well, oh, really? Later, yeah, not during the whole thing, and which is dumb, you know, because you can't just let it go and then pick it up and go, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
But were you like, were you motivated? Were you like, okay, well, am I going to do this again? Like, come on. Like, right?
Yeah, no.
No way.
Yeah. And I, you know, I never missed the playoffs once in my NHL career. And so I've been on some teams that were mediocre.
Yeah.
And, but I'd never been on a team that was so bad you couldn't make the playoffs. And so that wasn't fun. So.
Let me go back real quick. Talk about your dad, growing up with your dad, and him being a superstar. You're traveling over to goddamn place. You're moving over to place. Like, how was your relationship with him? Like, Like, was it tough to communicate with him? I know he had brothers and shit like that. So, like, did you get attention from him? Like, explain that whole scenario.
No, complete absentee parenthood. Both my parents, I don't think my dad came and watched me play, but maybe three times. But I'm also not an idiot. I completely understand that, you know, he's Bobby Hull and up in Canada, if he went to a hockey game, nobody watched a hockey game. They just stood in line to get his autograph. And who in the hell wants to do that? Cause I've been through that before. So, but no, he was always traveling and he's out on the farm and, you know, and then as kids, all we did was play hockey and travel. So, you know, it wasn't, but it was good. I think it's, you know, it's weird. I don't know, not weird, but, you know, my wife's family are like the Waltons, and it's like different, like almost complete opposite from how I grew up with my family. So it's different to watch a family that is so tight knit and loving and caring for each other where, you know, I don't even talk to one of my brothers, you know, Why? Well, that's kind of a personal financial deal that happened between us. So it was, but that's,
I get you. I get you.
And then, you know, like we don't call each other on our birthdays or anything. It's just so dysfunctional. It's unreal. But yet there's still lots of love there between everyone. It's just we grew up so independent and without, you know, without that big family dynamic that it made you self-sufficient, made you find things to do on your own. And you know, when you leave home to go play junior, it wasn't a big deal because it's like, well, so what? There was really no home when we were home. So,
explain what it's like to have a dad who's like this larger than life figure, who's this NHL superstar celebrity, because I've been around you guys, Holly. Like I can tell that you like appreciate that he's your dad and that he was a great player. You guys have that hockey connection, but as a kid, having a dad who's that big, yet he's not around, like how difficult is that?
Well, I don't know. You know, it wasn't difficult because it was, I mean, there's two sides to every story, right? Like, yeah, absentee and didn't do like family trips or things like that, like a normal family, but also got to go places and do things and see things, you know, that the kids that I grew up with could only dream of. You know, I mean, I'm in a professional hockey team's locker room every day. I go to practice and get to skate with these guys and you know, we're in the locker room in between periods, you know, back in the 70s, right? You're passing out oranges. That's what they used to do back then, you know? and so, you're taping sticks and things. And then, so it was, you know, after the games, while, you know, they're getting ready and drinking beer in the wives' room, we're out on the ice skating. I mean, who gets to do things like that? So a lot of great things and a lot of things you miss out on.
Yeah.
Hey, Holly, listen, I've never heard you address this publicly, and I've always been curious, and I can't believe I've never asked you, but how did it go down where you chose to play for Team USA versus playing for Canada?
Well, I did not make that choice. They made that choice for me. You know, I was at the University of Minnesota Duluth, the World Championships were in Moscow in 1986, and both Team USA and Team Canada came to watch me play. And Dave King was the coach of Team Canada, and Dave Peterson was the coach of Team USA. And Dave King basically said I was no good and that he wanted nothing to do with me, and Team USA could have me if they wanted. And we were playing in I can't remember if it was Denver or Colorado College, but they came down after the game and asked me if I would like to play for Team USA at the World Championships. And I'm like, well, yes, I would. Thank you very much. And so when I got there, I led the team in scoring, was way up there in the whole tournament in scoring. And that's when I decided I was going to turn pro, because I said, I know it's not the best of the best, because it's just the teams that don't make the playoffs. But obviously there's some very good NHL players playing in this tournament. And I competed very well. So I said, well, I'm going to turn pro, because I kind of started late as it was. And so I turned pro, and I go, if they saw that much in me and gave me the opportunity, well, what kind of a dick would I be if, you know, all of a sudden I become this famous NHL guy and I just go, screw you, Team USA, I'm going to go play with Canada because they're better. And I said, no, I'm going to stay loyal to Team USA, who showed and took a chance on me.
And you right. fit in so well with so all they those make, guys.
Yeah, Team USAA.
We've had so many of those guys on with us, man, and they love you so
they're
much.
They're awesome, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, even like the Hatchers and, like, you know, some of those guys too, man, like, you know, who aren't the Hall of Famers, but, man, they are so much fun to talk to. But did Canada
like guys like Darian make you a Hall of Famer?
Goddamn right. Yeah.
You know, he sure made the game easy when he was out there with you.
Oh, we. You know, and then,
but when
best.
I played against him, he made it hard. I'll tell
oh
you.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
But did Canada call you back? Did they almost beg you to come back?
No, I think it was. I think it was later, and I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna say this 100%, but I'm pretty sure it was Keenan that called and asked if I would play, and I said no, I'm not playing for Team Canada.
You're like, I'm going with Chelios and the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Hey, what was
and it? I knew we were getting better and better every year with guys like Brian Leach coming up, and Guerin and Roenick and Big Walt. And you know, then we had those guys that I don't think people understood how good they were. Like, Dougie Waite's sick good.
Oh, he and was, man.
Tony Amonte could skate like the wind, and Drury and Adam Deadmarsh, who was tough as nails. I mean, it was there. We had some really good players, and then you'd fill it in with, you know, fourth line stalwart like Joel Otto and things like that.
Big boy,
yeah,
monster.
Big Joel Otto.
Yeah, now you guys must have had fun. And it was like you guys are fighting each other. Walt's trying to fight Claude Lemieux with a broken hand. Like, it's just crazy. Yeah.
The Cam and Strick podcast is brought to you by CarShield. You know, nothing more frustrating, Cam, than when that engine light comes on and you know right off the bat you're going to have to spend thousands of dollars to repair your vehicle. Call 800-857-2481. Mention the promo code CAM or visit carshield.com and use the code CAM to save 10%. Yeah. That's carshield.com. A deductible may apply. Save yourself money. Cam. Sign up and get your coverage now with carshield.com. Cam. Now back to the interview.
But let me ask you about Calgary, though. So you're scoring a ton of goals. Like, you're scoring a ton of goals in college. You're scoring a ton of goals and over in the junior leagues. Like, 50 goals. Like, you're scoring fucking 50 goddamn goals. Then you go to Calgary and you score 50 in the minors. And then you go up there and you put points up and they're like, meh. I don't know if we like this guy. Like, was your attitude different? So, like, what would happen?
No, it was that time and the era when hockey changed from the good old boys going to drink beer after practice to, you know, you're riding the bike before practice, you're in the gym after practice, you know, all the testing came out during training camp. And Calgary was on the cutting edge of that, I think, because of the Olympics. And the Olympic program, and so they were so into it, and they got so caught up with it. I think they actually delayed the success of their team because they thought that a guy who could do 500 sit-ups was a better player than a guy who could only do 47 sit-ups. When we all know it's the dead opposite. Right. It's, you know, my sophomore year, my second year in college, we had I think he was Mr. Hockey from Minnesota come, and he ran a sub-4-minute mile. And so every first day of dry land, we always had to run a 6-minute mile.
Oh.
And this kid ran a sub-4-minute mile and never played a shift, I don't think, because he couldn't play a lick. And so, you know, and I would do this to Keenan in St. Louis. He had the big fitness trophy. And I'd call him down in the weight room after practice. I'd go, "Hey, Mike, come here." And he's like, "What do you want? You're bugging me." And I come down here and I go, "Look out there." And he goes, "Yeah, what?" I go, "Who the hell are they?" And it was everyone who won the fitness thing in camp. And it's like, who cares? They can't play hockey. It's about playing hockey and winning. It's not about, you know, who looks the best in the shower. Right? I mean, can you, like Wayne Gretzky, the greatest of all time, the Babe Ruth of hockey, it's not Adonis in the shower. It's Wayne Gretzky.
What about Chelios?
That's him a story.
He's a great guy. That's
story. Yeah, yeah, but, and a mean one too.
Okay, so when they tell you you're going to St. Louis, like, what was your reaction? And like, who was the first person you met when you got to St. Louis? Who
what'd you do?
Who was your first friend?
I'll tell you. I went to practice, and it was my very first trading deadline day, and I was walking into the rink with Paul Reinhart and Jim Poplinski. And like I was walking in, I said, "Guys, what's this like, you know, today, trade deadline?" They go, "Well, you don't have to worry about it, kid. You're a lifer." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, whatever." And I go in and get dressed and put my underwear on before practice. And I'm sitting around stretching and trainer comes up to me, the old pot licker, Bearcat. Yep. And he goes, "Hey, kid, coach wants to see you." And I'm like, "Well, okay, no big deal to me, because Terry Crisp, he was always wanting to see me. He was always, you know, either going to tell me I wasn't playing or whatever." And so I go in the office and he goes, "Hey, kid, you know, we made a trade today." And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, just tell me it's somewhere good." And he goes, "Well, we've traded you to St. Louis." And I went, "Huh." I go, "Okay, that's, you know, it's in the States." Yeah. And it's, I mean, that sounds cool, you know, cool uniforms. And, at least they were until I got there. and then, so I go there and Susie Matthew picks me up at the airport and it was love at first sight. Well, it was love at probably second sight, because the first sight was being dropped off at the Howard Johnson at Hampton in 44.
Oh, yes.
With all the semis going by all night. And so, you know, I can't remember who it was, but maybe there was another guy staying there and we got maybe in a cab or something and drove right up the street to the arena. And once I got in, it was great. I mean, the guys were great. Bernie Federko and Brian Sutter. I can't even think of who else. I mean, there was Greg Pezlowski and, I mean, it was great. We weren't that great, but we weren't that bad either. And it was awesome stepping out onto that ice. We were on the road right away. I think we left that afternoon we went to Hartford and somewhere. And then we came home and that first game in the old arena was awesome. I think that's what it was. It was Hartford was the first game at home after the trade and I scored and it was.
Of course you did. And look,
it was good.
So you get to St. Louis and you're like, okay, all right, you're looking around town where you're like, damn, this is kind of hardcore downtown. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to go on the outskirts a little bit. Like,
no, because they took me, you know, after I got back, you know, Susie took me out and we went straight to West County where all the guys lived, you know, Bernie and Dougie Gilmore and all those guys. And so I got into an apartment complex I believe Gino Cavallini and Tony Herkus, guys like that were, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And Dougie Gilmore would pick me up for practice and games. And it was, so I don't know. I can't remember the first time I even went downtown. And, but it was, It was great.
It's that time you got robbed.
Yeah.
Take somebody with
that. Glad that never happened. Yeah.
No, exactly. Hey, when did you know? When did you know you were going to be a star? Like, when did you, or did you have that confidence? Like, did you know right away? Like, listen, I can play in this league and score.
Well, I knew I could play. I just didn't. I had no idea. All of a sudden, you know, my first full year. So I got traded, I think, with 12 games left, and then we beat Chicago in the first round of the playoffs and lost in six or to Detroit. That was starting to become a really good team, you know, with Probert. And it was kind of the end of Glenn Hanlon's career. And, you know, I obviously had Stevie Y and Gerard Gallant. That was their big line. Right. And then, so they were really starting to come on, and that summer, someone called me and I said that I would, you know, I think the question is what would you be happy with or disappointed with or whatever in this upcoming season? And I said, well, I'll be really disappointed if I don't get 40 goals. Cause I'd only played 50 games or so with Calgary and had 26 goals. And I'm thinking, well, if I play a full season, I should be able to get 40, especially with how it went in the playoffs. And I knew that I was, you know, that I had, you know, Dougie Gilmore was going to be on my line or Bernie Federko. I go, these guys are, you know, great players, you know, just get open. And my big brother, Bobby Jr. called me and he goes, you can't say that. And I go, what do you mean? I can't say that. I mean, it's true. I mean, I just want to, right. And I ended up, I got 42 goals and he called me after and he's like, you lucky. And I'm like, I knew I could do it. Right. And so then that was the after the season, Brian Sutter called us in, who had retired obviously at the end of the year before and was now the head coach. That's another, I love it. The way people think in the NHL is like Brett Hull's a coach killer. He got Jacques Martin fired too. And I'm like, hold on. I only played 12 games for that guy. I'm not that good at getting coaches fired. I'm like, that's such a crock. And anyway, so Brian's the new coach and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go in here and he's going to be, you are so good. You know, you're the, golly, 42 goals, your first full season. Like, God, this is awesome. And I sit down and he MF'd me for a half hour telling me how bad I was and how good I could be and what my potential was. And do I not have any family pride? You know, your dad's watching you. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? But, you know, if you know Brian Sutter at all, that's him. He really thinks you're always can do better. He's so positive. And so I left there thinking, man, if he really thinks that much of me, you know, maybe it's true. And I kind of just got a whole new attitude that, okay, I'm just going to be unstoppable. And I went out and said, I don't care what it takes. I'm scoring. I'm going to try and score every game, every shift. And I went out and got 72, I think. And that was it was a contract season.
Ah, beautiful. Perfect.
That summer was, you know, I just wanted like 140,000 and the Blues were going, no, we'll give you 115. And Brian Burke was my agent and I'm living on campus in the off season in Duluth. And he calls me and he goes, that's it. Don't take any more calls. We're playing our option out. And I wasn't even really sure what the hell that meant, but it just meant I stay on my last year and I'm a free agent at the end of the year, good or bad. And I got 70 goals and I went for asking for 140,000 and I got 7.3 over 4 years. So
hey,
they weren't really happy. I remember them telling me, like Sather and Harry Sinden, they all called them and they're going, are you out of your fucking mind? And then all of a sudden it went, you know, it went from McGillney and Neely and gosh, who else? I just everyone just started breaking. It was like that Yager. Was the
Yogs probably a bunch of
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you want to come?
You know, because at that point, you know, 72 was awesome, but you know, 50 was a walk in the park for a bunch of those guys.
It was,
you know,
it was weird. Yeah. But when you're you're still young, you're in early 90s St. Louis hockey, which all these guys that are playing in the NHL now, we're all watching you. Like, when were you like, fuck, I'm in control? Like, I'm the man of this fucking town.
Yeah, well,
explain that, dude.
That was, I mean, once I got 72 goals and, you know, and then all of a sudden, then I got, 86
and won the
MVP. I mean, it was like, holy cow, this is, you know, it's, and then all of a sudden Adam Oates is there. And it seemed like every time I had a good thing going with someone, they'd get rid of them. And, you know, Dougie Gilmore and we were playing good together and he got traded to Calgary in the off season. And then, you know, then Oti came and he was only with me, if you can believe it, for 3 years. And then he was traded.
I know. It's
and
crazy.
Then after he left, my next two centermen were Ron Sutter and Ron Wilson. Mm. And I always laugh at that. And I would tell Dog, right, Ron Wilson, I'd go, hey, Dog, I'm the only guy that centerman checked my dad
because he was so old. Hey, when you won the heart though, because you were becoming like a face of the NHL, you were so God. big, like how much were you making in endorsements? Like, did you have some big time endorsement deals up in Canada?
Yeah, I went and ended up being with Bob Goodnow, and then when Bob Goodnow left to be the NHLPA guy, I went with Mike Barnett from IMG, who was Wayne's agent and Yager's agent, and loved him, and it was unreal. But what I didn't realize until it was too late is I finally went, how come I, you know, they're all good, right? The endorsements for unreal and great money. But I go, how come I get so few? And they go, oh, no, I turn down 50 a day. And I'm like, well, hey, I go, I'm not Wayne. I go, they don't all have to be blockbuster deals. I go, I'll give me five more and they'll equal a big one.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'll wear a hat.
They wouldn't even tell me. They'd just say no.
Oh, you know? My God. So how was Berkey as an agent? And I know it's a kind of a two-parter. Because we had Berkey on, but we had Brian Sutter on too, yeah, man. It was an amazing interview. Yeah. Like, he refers to you as his son.
Yeah, he did.
Like, people don't know how tight
Who?
You...
Which one of them?
Everybody does, Holly. We've had everybody on. They all talk about you.
Well, Brian refers to you as his son. He said Scotty Bowman would call him your first year in Detroit. God. He'd, like, explain how best way to handle you and whatever. But so we'll get into that, but Brian Burke as an agent, start with that, and then I want to get into Sutter a little bit with you.
Well, he's exactly what you see as a GM and a, you know, he was like an agent. He was no bullshit guy. He was very smart, and it was his way or the highway. And that was the best part. And he cared, but he was going to do the best for you. And, you know, screw the teams. You know, I'm representing you, not the teams. And then I can imagine it turned around the other way when he became a GM. I betcha. But yeah, he was tough. He was tough.
Big
tough
time.
And fair, I would imagine.
Well, speaking of tough, though, what about, you know, Mike Keenan? You're the biggest big dick going. I'm my dad's driving me around McDonald's getting all of your like hockey cards.
I got all those books.
I met Holly down at the Lake of the Ozarks one time in the middle of a with Georgia.
He doesn't Hansford. Remember.
No, he doesn't remember. No, he does.
I do too. From the trainer.
You used to hang out at TGI Fridays too.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
TGI Fridays?
Oh, yeah. I remember running to you as a
bar. That was Wednesday nights. That was the spot over at, where was that? Over on Olive.
On Olive. No, Olive. And I remember coming up to you being like, listen, I was in detention and I wrote you a fucking letter and you never responded to me. And you said, well,
no shit.
You said, well, when'd you write it? I said, I don't know, a couple months ago. And you said, well, give me some time. I'm still waiting for it, Holly.
Yeah. Hey, you and a lot of people now.
No shit. Hey, Keenan, though. Remember, so, like, you know, there's so many stories about you, but you and Keenan, and you were just doing so great. And you guys butted heads. We had him on the podcast, too, by the way. But as far as you sitting out, you sit in penalties, right? And you going over to the fucking, and you're like, no, I ain't doing it. Explain that. Like, you don't fucking well, that sit was fucking that penalties.
That was Brian Sutter.
It was, eh?
Yeah. Wasn't Keenan? Keenan let me kill penalties. You know,
sit penalties, Holly. Go to the box and
that's
sit
the one
penalties.
Thing about Keenan. It's as big sir, of a sir. Jerk as a coach he was, he played his best players until they dropped.
Yeah.
Like, I was playing 30 minutes a night.
I know, it's crazy.
For Keenan, and I loved it. But Brian Sutter, I mean, I don't know where his philosophy was, but it's like I couldn't kill pennies or be out there at the end of the game. And I lost it that year. I scored 86 goals. I knew I had a chance to break Gretzky's record. And I all I needed was, you know, a couple, three, four empty netters sneak a couple of shorties in there and I can do it. And I got finally I just lost it and said, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. Someone else can do this because it's embarrassing. So I snapped one night in Detroit and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
What does that mean? And, snap? Like what?
Well, I just came to my wit's end about it. You know, I wanted to break Gretzky's record and I was being held back by our coach and it wasn't intentional. And that's what really pissed me off is that I don't think he realized that I had a chance to do it. Mm. Or if Gretzky even had the record at 92 goals. Because if I was a coach and I had I don't think so, because he's not that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not a guy that would deliberately not let me have a chance to be great, because he's the one who got me to be there to begin with. You know, I think he didn't know. And it just drove me nuts, because it's, you know, that would be something to be able to say, I've got the all-time record for a season single goal.
Because you didn't have an empty netter that year, did you? When you scored 86,
or a shorty, yeah.
Which
yeah,
is no. just crazy.
What about what about serving penalties with Keenan?
That's what I mean. Serving penalties. That's where I snapped and said, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to kill penalties. You know, it's not like we were vying, you know, for the, or maybe we were, that was a good year. We were really good that year. Mm. I think we came second in the presidents, but it's, yeah, you know, but it's not like I'm a bad player. I could kill penalties.
Okay, so where did things go south with you and Keenan? Like, how bad was it? Holy.
When he started treating the players so bad, you know, he gets rid of Chaser and gets rid of Shanahan. And I don't care what anyone says. Obviously, Chris Pronger is an unreal player, Hall of Famer, like turned out to be sick good. Mm-hmm. But at that time, that was a terrible trade. Because no one knew if Chris was going to develop into that. And you had Brendan Shanahan, you know, 50, 60 goal guy, tough as nails.
Oh.
And you just ship him out. He shipped Cujo out. It was just like one after another. And the way he treated people, it was just, you know, it was like playing for a tyrant.
What about the way he
treated Kim Jong-un?
What about the way he treated Prongs though when he got there?
Well, it didn't matter because that was his boy at that point. But he treated everyone the same. You know, he could have been. I can't remember specifically, but Prongs and Al, they must have played 40 minutes a night. Minimum.
Do you think
they were both so good? I mean, it's a joke.
Do you think Keenan was jealous of you that you were so popular?
Oh yeah, no, I don't want to say jealous is the wrong word, but he did not like it.
In control, you're too much in control of the
city. Well, yeah, too big. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's how it is.
You know, that's what he. God, what did he say to someone? He said it to Gretzky when he got there. Like, you make so much money, you don't even want to play anymore. It's like, what? It was Wayne Gretzky. Nobody plays harder than Wayne Gretzky.
Weren't you?
It was like, I mean, just think about it. You make a trade for the greatest player in the history of the world, and you treat him so badly he doesn't re-sign with you.
Why didn't he resign?
When one of his best players on the team with him, one of his best friends, is on the team with him.
Why didn't he resign with the Blues? What's the real story?
Because they treated him, Jack Quinn and Mike Keenan treated him so poorly. He said this, you know, because I told him, I said, don't do this. I go, this guy is crazy, Gretz. You don't want to play for him. And he goes, oh, he'll change when I get there. I go, no, he won't. He doesn't have any respect for anybody that's a player. And he goes, no, he'll change when I get there. I go, I'm just going to give you one more chance to not do this. I'm sure there's 10 more teams lined up to trade for you.
Really?
That you'll enjoy. And after about a week, he looked at me and said, I should have listened to you.
Really?
And I knew he wasn't coming back.
Yeah. Wow.
When we lost, well, what was the playoff game where we lost? It was Detroit in the conference finals. We lost like 7-1 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we gave up like, I mean, it was 12 shots and they scored 7 goals. And he benched me and Wayne. And then that's when he said that to Wayne. And it's like, and so we and Wayne go for a beer. And it's like, pretty sure we didn't let in those goals. He goes, it's like not our. It's like I told you.
Was it John Casey let him in?
Hey,
of course.
What's the story though? Didn't Keenan go and knock on Wayne's hotel room
we
door?
We had Wayne on, by the way,
with a six pack of beer.
Well, he did.
Or something?
He did that one night. Yeah, and Wayne said, "Go to bed." Said, "Go to bed. This is not." You know, I was up there in Detroit after one of the games, just having a beer, and I mean. Keenan, he trades for all these veterans, but then treats them like they're rookies, right? So puts all this drama on the curfew. And so I'm up there with Gretz, and we're just having a beer. And the trainer calls up, and he's like, Gretz, where's Hully? And so he hands me the phone. I go, yeah, what can I do for you? And he's like, Keenan's looking for you. And I go, okay. I go, what room's he in? And he goes, whatever room, whatever. I didn't even do that. I just said, hey, phone down. I said, can I have Mike Keenan's room? And we don't have a Mike Keenan here. And I go, yeah, you do. I go, this is Brett Hull from the Blues. He's our coach. We're staying here, the hockey team. He goes, yeah, no Mike Keenan. So I phone the trainer back and I go, there's no Mike Keenan here. And he goes, oh, he's under an alias. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And so I called him and he goes, where are you? And I go, I don't know, Mike. If you would have checked all the rooms, you knew where I was. He's such a dick.
Isn't that funny? You don't get an alias. Gretzky doesn't get an alias, but the fucking Mike Keenan
did.
Does.
I mean, Gretz always had an alias.
Of course he did.
What was his alias? What would he go by?
I can't tell you because he's still using
Andy Strickland.
Time to talk a little bit about Daredevil Hockey, the ultimate in performance plus protection. Daredevil is a lightweight compression-based layer designed with Kevlar cut-resistant fabric overlays that protects all the vulnerable areas of the upper and lower body from skate lacerations. Get yours now. www.daredevilhockey.com. Use that promo code Cam and Strick. You'll save 25%. Yeah, now back to the interview.
Let's go. Hey, what about Dallas? So, okay, you go to fucking Dallas. Now, look, that team was fucking loaded with guys, and you go there, and you're doing your thing with St. Louis for so long, and you go down to Dallas. You're different, and you fall in love with that town, too, by the way. You're cruising around, fucking doing your shit. Like, explain that whole setup with the boys
still
and all that shit, man.
Yeah, still.
I went to your house in Dallas when I was suspended. Chaser took me over there. You don't remember, but I was there.
I do too.
I had Codico with you all night, I think. Went to Codico at the time, but it's all good.
Right. That was good. The only different thing there was the style of play. It was, you know, it was Bob Gainey and Ken Hitchcock, and it was, you know, safety first, you know, and it was, I thought I played really good and felt like I scored a lot. And I think I ended up with like 29 or 30 goals. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm turned into a mediocre player. I'm like, well, but they don't care. You know, it's it's what happens with the team, and it's winning. And it's, you know, it was Ken Hitchcock. You know, it's 1-0 is the greatest game ever if we win.
Didn't you call his offense the triple chip offense? You chip it across the blue line,
yeah,
across the red line, and then across the another blue line.
Chip it out, chip it over, chip it in. Triple tip.
Hey, hold on. I got to go back to St. Louis real quick. Yeah. Did part of you want to go play elsewhere, or were you devastated that you had to leave? Yeah. And why didn't it work?
I wasn't devastated. Well, because Larry Plough, it could be the biggest dick that ever walked the face of the planet.
You don't like
it? It was him.
Why?
Well, it was. I don't know. I didn't even know the guy. But that was it. There was no. And the thing that pisses me off the most was making up the story and making them look good. I said, you know what? I know you don't want me back, so don't worry about it. And I don't want the franchise to look bad. So we'll just say that we can't come to a no term or no trade clause. And the reason I did that was because they had already given them out. So I would thought that people would see through it and go, well, that's not true. Right. But nobody ever did. And so that's it. And it was just like, okay, I won't say that you don't want to sign me. I'll just say that we can't come into an agreement. So you don't look like a
So that story is not true that they wouldn't give you a no trade. Otherwise you would have accepted the 3-year $15 million deal, whatever.
Yeah, Grant Fuhr already had one, and I'm not even sure who else had one. But yeah, no, they were out there.
Jesus. Did you like Hitch? Like, what'd you think of him when you got there? What'd you learn about him? I mean, you guys won a cup together, obviously.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a great, great guy, super smart. But his idea of how to play hockey and mine are completely 180 degrees apart. But, you know, he won the cup with us, and that's all that matters. And that was my first one, and that really changed the perception of who I was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because there was always Mike Keenan, you know, said, oh, you'll never win with him. And then, you know, I win 2 in 3 seasons, and it changed the perception, you know, that I completely changed my game to play for the Stars and then went back and started playing real hockey again with the Red Wings.
Yeah. Well, you're the biggest pimp on the planet at this time, and you score that fucking goal, and then you have that team, that old veteran team, and you guys go out that night like, what'd you do after you scored that goal?
We didn't get home until 8 in the morning.
Explain it. Like, what'd you do? What happened?
The Buffalo were such dicks, they wouldn't even give us beer.
Really?
What?
Yeah. Darcy was working for the team, and she went down and jumped on the motorized forklift and brought us a flat of beer because of the so-called no goal, they weren't going to give us any beer.
The biggest dick move ever.
Darcy's fucking badass. She's badass.
Doesn't the league provide the beer for the celebration?
No. No. God, no.
Jeez. They don't?
So did Keenan call you and say congratulations?
No.
What'd you guys do that night, though? So was that in Buffalo?
It was in Buffalo.
So did you guys fly home?
Yeah, it didn't land until like 8 in the morning.
And then what? What'd you do with the cup?
I took it to Duluth and had a little party for the city. Let them have it, and people could go down and get their picture taken with it. And then the next day I had a little party on the lake.
Oh, nice. And all the guys are fun, too. What a cool group that is. But then in 02, like, explain that goddamn team, Holy. Like,
it's a joke.
Like, it's a fucking joke. Come on.
I was in heaven. Oh. Right? So I go, and I'm already friends with, you know, Shanahan and Chelios.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I know all these guys. I mean, Iserman. And so we get on the bus because we drive to Traverse City for training camp. and I have no idea what's going on. I mean, we get up there, and the first day, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you got all the testing. And they go, who wants to do the VO2 first? And I go, I do. Get me out of here. and so I got a coffee and flip-flops, and I get on the bike, you know, remember the Fitron?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh.
And so they go, yeah, ride at 1,500 or 1,200 for 7 minutes. And I'm talking to Chelly. I was drinking a cup of coffee, riding the bike in the flip-flops, and that was our VO2. You know how you used to be in like tubes and a mask?
Oh yeah.
And it was like you have to keep it at this level for like 3 hours. Get and I'm like, oh here. My God. And I'm like, you kidding? And then I get off of that and they're like, okay, you want to do some of the other stuff? I go, no, I got a bad wrist. And they're like, okay, don't worry about it. And then I go, this is the greatest training camp ever.
This is the sickest team in the world.
Yeah, we wake up and go to practice and go golfing every day.
And what about Scotty?
And like Olympic
team. Me and Chelios went, we got up one morning at like 4 a.m. and we went out on the lake with these guys and went salmon fishing. And we're drinking beer on the boat. And then we go to practice and do our scrimmage in that.
No shit.
And, well, I mean, we didn't get drunk. I mean, we had a couple of few beers.
Yeah.
So, but that, the worst was, so the after the one practice, when they told us that the plane had crashed in New York City.
Okay.
And they told us it was a commuter, like a private little Piper Cub thing that hit it, right? And we were like, oh, God. And then we walk over to the hotel to have lunch before we go golfing. And there's a line of about 200 people outside the hotel. And we're like, what's going on? And the reporter, our team scribe, Nick Constant, remember him, the Greek guy?
Yeah. Oh, Constant? Yeah. No, he works for NHL.com now. Good guy. Real good guy.
Really great guy.
Yeah.
He told us that it's like two airliners and they're both down. And all these people were from the planes that were diverted.
Oh,
it was 9/11, man.
Damn.
Yeah, it was 9/11. Damn, yeah. And that was a terrible day.
Were you like watching TV with all the guys like, what the fuck? That's not a fucking private plane. That's right. A fucking 747.
Yeah,
it was terrible. That was something else, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, man.
What about Scotty? Did you guys hit it off right away? Like, how well did you know him before you got there?
He's on the pod.
Just from, obviously my, like may have saw him a couple times, but I didn't really know him, but he obviously knew my dad very well. And, I was always one of those guys who loved to talk to the coaches. And so I go in, when we get back to Detroit, I go in and I get up in the morning, I go in and talk to Scotty in his office and I come back in, about 15 minutes before practice starts to get dressed. And these guys are all staring at me. And I go, what the hell is wrong with you guys? And they're going, what the hell is wrong with you? And I go, what are you talking about? And they go, I've been here 8 years and he hasn't said two words to me. And you're in there chit-chatting with him with coffee.
I got 700 goals, Dick.
Well, I'm like, well, I don't know. He's a nice guy. I like to talk hockey with him. And he goes, the only other guy that he would talk to was Mike Vernon.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Mike Vernon. But they thought that was bizarre.
Hey, what about? No,
before
let me,
you move
go
on.
Ahead, go ahead,
before
Andy.
You move,
go ahead. I'll smack you, but go ahead.
What was hot? Did you like Hasek? We've had guys on who don't like him.
Oh, yeah.
They said he was a bad teammate.
You loved him?
Oh, Loney. He was not a bad teammate. Great teammate.
Really?
Great player.
These are Buffalo guys, player. I guess from back in his day, but I don't know. I had to ask you. I knew you were going to say
Holly's
that, too.
Well, he's a goalie. He's a goalie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
He's fucked up one way or the other, right? I mean, like, is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Okay.
Even the most normal guys are screwed up.
They are.
No. Well, and they can get away with the best, Eddie Belfour is best.
We had him on, too.
He had this fake back injury. Did he admit to that?
Ted Nolan said that Hasek had a fake knee injury though.
I don't know. He wasn't injured with us, but that Eddie Belfour, as long as he phoned before 9 o'clock, he never had to practice.
Really?
Daryl, they would call Daryl Ray and Daryl Ray would come and be our second goalie. And he had him so buffaloed and he was so dumb some of the times that he would forget or not call. And we would be in the dressing room just losing it because there's only one goalie, because there's nothing worse than practice.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so he had to, and he finally admitted it to me. He goes, "I don't have a bad back." I'm like, I go, "No shit." I go, "You can't play the goal the way you did with a bad back."
Have you tried his whiskey?
Yeah, he's got good whiskey.
He's got good whiskey.
No, he likes fucking
tequila. I have a bottle. He gave all of us a championship bottle. I've got it right here on my bar, but I'm not a, you know, I drink vodka or tequila. I whiskey's not my thing, and it's kind of really cool. It's etched and stuff, so I don't really
want to.
I've got one. Eddie sent me one.
He signed.
Nice.
Hey, hold on. What about fucking 96? We talked about this before, but dealing with Lou Lamoriello, and I've been there for 7 years, and I know, and I love the guy, but how are you with him, homeboy?
During the World Cup.
Did you love him?
I loved Lou Lamoriello.
Love hearing that, man.
And I always feel bad because, you know, I called him an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, you know, Lou looks like an Oompa Loompa, but he is such a smart man and so nice. I loved him. I really loved him.
We call Andy that, too.
Hey, Holy, what about Gary Bettman? You used to be so outspoken. You hated the way the game was played. Like, nobody else would say it. Like, did you ever wonder, how come nobody else says anything, even though they would say it privately?
You got that right. I said that a million times. And, you know, Wayne said it to me. He goes, "You know why I love you, Holy? Because you say everything I want to."
And what would Gary say to you? Would the league call you?
Nothing. Like, nope, never. I get along great with Gary. I always liked him because I knew he cared about the game and wanted the game, and he's done unreal things for the game. As far as I'm concerned, you know, he's got some people making decisions about the rules that I think he could step in and change, and they'd be good changes for the game. But he gives them that power and he lets them do their thing, I guess. Because it all gets passed through the GMs and the owners. So, you know, they come up with these rules and the owners okay it. Gary says, okay, you know, you had your chances to say no. But, you know, he's done unreal with and now we're back on ESPN, which is going to be unreal for hockey.
I know.
Never should have left ESPN. I think NBC is horrible. I think they do a terrible job.
You worked there. So, you and Don Cherry worked there together.
Yeah, the one year. That's the end of that. I will never do that again.
Time to talk about our boy, Dan Behlman. Behlman.com. That's with two N's, not one. BEHLMANN.com. Hey, check out the new inventory. Check out the pre-owned vehicles. You looking for a Chrysler, a Dodge, a Jeep, a Ram? How about a Cadillac or a Buick GMC? All in Troy, Missouri. Get your new wheels in time for the winter. Now back to the interview. What about when you were the GM, co-GM of the Dallas Stars?
Right.
Did you like it? Were you like,
Okay. No, I did a little bit. I was really confused why they made the change. Cause we had come two games from going to the Stanley Cup final. We lost in six to Detroit. And we were doing well the next year. And then all of a sudden it was, I don't know, October or something. And I get a call in and they're going to make this change. And Joe Neunike's going to be the new GM. And you know, you're going to stay with the team. And I'm like, I go, that's fine. You're the boss. I didn't understand why. So, you know, whether maybe the Sean Avery thing had something to do with it, but. What are you going to do?
Did you like Sean Avery? Listen,
we had him on too.
We had him on, and
still
then,
do. The,
he
still
loves
do
you,
the
man.
Bastard.
He loves you.
He's a little bastard, isn't he?
He is, but I love him. And I thought that's what the Dallas Stars needed. They needed some attitude and they needed some grit. But they didn't need the guy with grit and he had some skill. He's like a Brad Marchand.
I know.
And that's, you know, I was actually talking with Doug Huda the other day. I played golf with the coaches for the Red Wings here. And, you know, Doug was in Boston forever. And he goes, and we started talking about that. And he's like, he is Brad Marchand who went off the rails.
Yeah.
Like Sean Avery could have been a Brad Marchand, because that's what Brad Marchand was, the exact same as Avery, yelling at everybody and taking stupid penalties and this and that.
Licking people.
And then almost, yeah, and then, yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, I can't remember who got him, whether it was Neely or whatever, and they said, no more of this or mm-hmm. or whatever. And all of a sudden he said, okay, and he started, and now he's a great player. And I thought that's what Sean Avery could have become, because he still has the grit and tenacity. But he just, flipped a gasket, I guess, yeah, blew a gasket.
We all do, but he did pump you up a lot when he talked he about did. That.
And he well, was he, like, well, yeah, listen, no, he, like, that's he lived mistake. With you. He lived with you, yeah. right, yeah. in your garage, above your garage?
No, he lived in the house with Darcy yep. and I in Detroit. I
yeah. yeah.
And so like, it was, and the only thing that pissed me off is he still has never really, like, he's said it to other people, but he's never called me and apologized.
Oh,
for flipping out and wigging out.
Yeah,
because really, because you gave him a contract, you gave him a lot of money, dude, you gave him an opportunity, and then what? He would make like crazy comments, right? I mean, about girls and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, no, it happened on the ice. He, like, the first road trip in Boston, like, everything went bananas, and then they go to Calgary, and his ex-girlfriend, who he brought to our wedding, was dating Dion Phaneuf, oh, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when he said, God, they said something about
sloppy seconds. Seconds.
Yeah, and then he goes, I hope he likes my sloppy seconds. Oh. And it's like, oh, God.
Oh,
God. I think the Stars completely overreacted. And even if they came to the same conclusion, they should have taken a step back, got him back to Dallas, sat him down with us and the ownership and go, okay, you know, you're suspended for whatever. Get your shit together. And if you want to come back and be a productive part of the team and learn a lesson, okay. If not, then bugger off. But don't just, while they're on the road without even talking to me or less, say, that's it, he's off the team. It's like, well, okay. I mean, you had to come up with something better than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you get along with my voice is cracked there. You hear that? My voice cracked.
Did it
you,
does
did,
all the time,
did you get along with,
yeah, you're going through puberty still.
With Quenneville? Well, what's the story there, the truth?
Yeah, I did. He's good. Good coach, good guy. I don't know what you want to say, like phony, like, I don't want to say that either. Just, like, kind of, I don't know
how
to.
Did you shoot a puck? Like, did you shoot a puck at him in practice?
No, that was his stupid drill. The drill was something along the lines of, you know, you go out there and then he shoots it up to you. And then you dump it back in. It's not my fault. I shoot it really good and hard.
I had to ask right? that. Hey,
yeah,
any,
no.
Any chance?
If I was shooting it at him, he would have got hit.
You'd have been donezo.
Did the Blues ever try to, like, bring you back and sign you, like, to finish your career here?
No.
Okay. I got to.
I wouldn't have anyway.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. Yeah, a couple more for you.
I want to. I got to ask you about the Stanley Cup run, because listen, like, you.
Oh,
you didn't have to, but you. Like, you reconnected yourself with the city and the fans that takes your legendary status, Holly, to such a
Jesus
level
film.
That may never get reached or touched again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is why we understand how lucky we were to play when we did before cell phones. So that is a byproduct of a overserved 56-year-old that forgets people will be filming what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even in the arena when I gave our friend the finger.
Yeah. Who was
like,
that?
I didn't even take into account. It's a friend of ours, and she's a Bruins fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good friends with another friend of ours who's a huge St. Louis fan.
Yeah.
And we helped them get tickets. Yeah, and we see them dark come scene. In through the vomitorium.
Is that Darcy in the background?
Yeah, she's helping me remember.
Tell her hi, by the way.
Tell her she's next.
We want to interview her.
We're going to interview her next.
And so, and she's in full Boston garb. Yeah, and so I just stand up, we catch eyes, and I flip her the bird because we love each other. I mean, we're all great friends. And so that was that. Again, a few cocktails in, not thinking people would film it. And then I saw them again, and that's when I went to the nipples. And again, these people are unreal with the cameras. They're like, oh, God. Like if I stood out here and tried to take a picture of my view for you guys, it would take me 20 minutes.
No,
I hear you.
These guys catch me in blink of an eye.
But hey, you know what happened, though, after that? Everybody started filming people at like 3 o'clock in the morning walking down Market Street. And they're filming a guy that kind of looked like you that was not you. And they're like, look at Holly. I go, no, Darcy would never let him walk down Market Street.
And you're not walking down with no shoes on.
With no shoes on. Like, no, everybody, you fucking moron.
What about the what about the We Went Blues? Like,
I love it.
Did that come out the way that you wanted it to come out?
Yeah.
How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, dude. Because remember, the slogan was, Let's Go Blue.
Yeah.
It's always been Let's Go Blue.
Yeah.
And we finally win it. And so I came up with... We went. Right? We went and we got there.
I get it. Andy doesn't understand.
I got it right away, actually.
I got a fucking tattoo.
I'm like, you know what? That kind of makes sense. We went blues.
I should have trademarked that thing.
No shit.
I think Doug Armstrong asked Darcy to get me off the stage when I was singing.
That was right. Oh, because, Holly, remember we go to the thing and we're all hanging out and like,
yeah.
There's no food here.
In the suite.
There's no food.
Like I'm already at least one bottle of champagne deep.
I know.
When was the parade?
Thank you. Yes, early as fuck. There's no food. We all get on there. We're just
It was at like noon.
Oh,
but
God.
You probably got there around 7.
It felt like 7
because we had to be down there early too. But how genuinely happy were you for the city and for the organization?
I think I proved it, right? Because and if you aren't one of them, then there isn't any of them that had to have asked me over the last 5-7 years, Holly, what's it going to be like when the Blues win the cup? And every time I'd say, it's going to be a party like you've never seen in the history of sports.
Yep.
And I was right. And I said, I got to live up to this because it is... We did it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay, a couple more for you. One, Alexander Ovechkin, how much you pay attention to him? I know you're not watching a lot of hockey, but how well do you know him? And if he passes you or whatever, and do you think he can...
What do you mean, if?
Well, when he...
next week.
Yeah, here's my question. Will he catch Wayne? Do you think he will?
Well, he can. It all depends on if, you know, like we were talking about earlier with this, the season and how bad it sucks. I mean, if it can be fun again and fans, I mean, does he want to keep playing? You know, he's a big guy that throws his body around. And I mean, it's one bad move, one bad hit and, you know, he could get injured. So, but there's no question that he can. I mean, he's got 724 right now, right? And then, so that's, what, 150 behind Wayne? 170 behind Wayne?
170 or so, yeah.
Yeah, so what? So hey, the way he scores, it's three, maybe a little over 3 years.
We'll have Cam do the math on that.
How old is he?
He's 35, man. Dude. He's a year younger than me.
But
he scored from beneath the goal line, though.
The way they train now, I mean, 35's like 20. Mm. It's a joke.
I feel like I'm 50 though, Holly. Like, I'm 36. I'm fucking terrible.
Hey, what about I know you were tight with Bobby, man. I got to ask that.
We got to throw Bobby. And then we're done with you, Holly. Go hang out with Darcy.
For our St. Louis listeners,
tell Darcy we love her, by the way. I know she's hanging out.
Just Bobby Plager. Like, for people who... We got a lot of listeners outside of St. Louis, man, throughout Canada and whatever, who probably don't know that much about him. Like, every organization has that iconic figure who maybe isn't as well known outside of that specific market. So what do you think they should know about him?
Well, it just that he... I mean, he was he's a character first, character guy. You brought up guys like that, like Eddie Shack for the Toronto Maple Leafs, iconic in Toronto, he's got golf shoes that are cowboy boots and, step aside, here comes Eddie Shack, right? Get off the tracks. Here comes Eddie Shack. So he's just this guy, and he was funny, and but he cared so much about the city and the team, and I don't know if you saw it on, or even if they played it, but I sent a video in.
I saw it
for the game the other night. It was just the first thing that came to me was, it's hard enough to connect with a small group of people. Well, what do you say about a guy who connected with 2 million plus people in a city? And, I could go places and there'd be some people that say, I don't give a shit if Brett Hull's here or not, but Bobby Plager, everyone loved Bobby and they wanted to have Bobby tell a joke or have a beer with him. And, it's so sad. And, I said that, Billy and Bark are the happiest guys right now because they're with Bobby, but we wish that he was still here with us and still a part of the team.
He did that, all that shit, like organically too, like where everybody could do social media.
Yeah, there was
shit.
Nothing fake about
no,
it.
No, I know.
All
I know.
Natural. Absolutely.
Like this fucking time. Cause
there's some guys, there's some guys that can flick that switch and, you see him in a public setting and it's like, oh, there's that guy. And then you see him, when it's not, he's a fucking dick.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Some old curmudgeon, angry at the world guy.
Holy man, you're the best.
Hey,
dude.
Anything you want to promote though? Like,
Codigo.
What are we trying to do for St. Louis and Brett Hull's
Junction House?
Fucking A.
Best restaurant in the St. Louis area.
Damn right.
Serving Codigo.
Now Codigo, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, I just sent Lubo and his wife there the other night, and they said it was awesome, so that's good. And I'll be coming in a couple days before the funeral, and we'll get together and we'll go out there and
Please let us know, man.
Yeah, dude.
We'll
be there.
Please.
And we're trying to get Codigo on the show, so if you want to go call those guys and tell them to let's go.
Yeah, but
pull
what? You guys, your prices are exorbitant.
No, I told
since
them
you're the number two most popular hockey podcast.
Hey.
If you don't say so yourself, I'd like to see the Nielsen's ratings on these things.
Hey, I told Travis this morning, we will renegotiate. Mm-hmm. We'll renegotiate. Make it happen.
What's number one? Spit and Chicklets? Yeah,
well, it depends who you ask, man. We always bow. Hey, listen, they're the originals. Hey. They're the OGs. So
we do our thing. We do our thing, man. We all got to be different, Holly. But
asking you, who's better? It's like asking, who's a better goal scorer, Holly or Ovi?
Or Holly? Holly's better.
Holly or Holly?
Hey, man. We appreciate
it. It's hard to beat that Ovechkin, I'll tell you that.
Hey, well, you're right there,
you're
man.
There. You already did. Hey, Holly, you're the fucking man, dude. And we want you to come back to St. Louis.
Hey,
love you, buddy.
Holly, return my damn letter.
No,
he doesn't
return my text messages. 20, I texted him
20 years ago.
Hey, Holly, real quick. Are you on Instagram? Is that you on Instagram?
Yeah, there's about 20 of me, but I just did a new one.
741.
Which one's yours?
I'm really, really down on this cancel culture bullshit.
I know.
So I got rid of my Twitter and Instagram accounts, but then I'm like, well, you can't cut your nose off to spite your face, because I still, I've got a restaurant that I want to promote, and tequila I want to promote, and I want to see what some of my friends are doing. So I'm not going to listen to any of the cancel culture, but Yeah, so
you're on Instagram.
I think. How do you find out which one it is?
What is his? He's 741.
Here, right on
Brett Hall 741 or something.
I think I had to change it.
Dude, that's you.
I know,
man.
You made.
I saw the
hold
picture.
On.
You
I made. Goes, hold on, I got to put my glasses.
Cam was so excited that you liked his post today.
I said my post.
It's probably not even.
Was it
him.
Darcy that liked me? Was it Darcy?
No, it was me.
I knew it was.
Here's profile. So it's Brett Hall.
741.
HOF 209. 2009.
That's what it is. That's what it is. HOF?
I don't know. See, that's not who it was.
I got a fucking fake.
There it is. No, you're right. It's Brad Hall 741.
Jesus Christ, Holly. I thought that. Okay, thank God.
I don't know how to do this stuff.
I love it, dude. I love it.
God.
Hey, you're the man, dude.
And we'll raise money for that alumni assistance fund and all that stuff. The blue. We'll go ahead and pass that along.
We're going to pass
it along. Love it.
Okay. Hey, when are you coming to town again? Oh, a couple days before the funeral. Okay, good. All right.
We'll see you at the funeral.
We'll see you then, man.
All right, Holly. You're the man. Tell Darcy.
Keep up the good work. Darcy says hello.
Tell Darcy to say hi.
That's all we care about.
Tell her Laura says hello, too, man.
That's all we care about. See you, bye. See you, guys.
See
you. See you, dude.
See you, guys.
Bye. That was Holly. Never disappoints. He honestly is one of the best interviewees that you can talk to.
He was on his game today, man.
He's good.
Most people get him, and I always hear him. He's like on a golf course, or he's like busy, or he's in the airport or something. You know what I mean? But he sat down with us. He was chilling with Coda Go. He was sitting in the backyard. You could tell because of the fucking people were working on his backyard.
What were they doing, you think?
They were blowing his fucking thing off.
No, you think
dude.
They were like mowing the lawn.
And then Darcy's weed next whacking. Him, which is the best. So at least he has comfort with Darcy.
Oh, yeah.
Darcy's answering questions for him. Mm-hmm. That's the coolest guy. She is such a badass biatch.
I know, I love
she
Darcy.
She is so fucking awesome. I love her. And she runs the show, man. Like, she takes care of him. Like, he's fucking all over the place. So, this is great. Holly was in the mood. Mm-hmm. He was story time Holly.
He was.
He was happy Holly, and we love it.
All right, we should point out that the Blues alumni are raising money for for small businesses here in St. Louis.
Damn right they are.
And I think they had a private donation.
I think we know who
and
that is.
An anonymous person I think donated.
I think it's one of our buddies.
It's anonymous, and I think the best
family in St. Louis.
The anonymous donor put in like $300,000 to kick this thing off.
$350,000.
$300,000 is what they're going to match, they're going to match, and so they want to raise that, and then they're probably going to put in a second donation too.
Oh, dude!
So go to bluesalumni.com and stlouisbluesalumni.com. Make your donation today. Doesn't matter where you are. This is going to go back to help out a lot of people who are in need.
Big time.
Who have been impacted and negatively affected by the pandemic. So, dude, this is a great opportunity for people to step up and to help out some people.
A lot of good attention for the Blues alumni, man.
Oh, yeah.
The past couple days and during the games and stuff. But the Blues alumni, they do a lot for this town, man. Bruce Affleck, Kelly Chase, all the guys on the board, we all do. Like anytime they need anything, like we're there for them. And there's a big, big part of this city where the alumni have a big effect on, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking raise money, dude.
What stood out in the interview for you before we say goodbye?
How happy he was.
Mm-hmm. He seems happy.
No, seriously.
Seems really
happy. He hung out with Holly a ton of times. Yeah, sometimes he gets moody. Sometimes he's just like, what the fuck am I doing an interview for? Mm-hmm. He was chilled. He was ready for this one. And that means a lot. Because you know how it is, Andy. How many times have we done this with superstars? We've done over 100, I don't know how many.
127,
you know,
I think.
And they're all superstars. So it's like, you see how they react. And Holly is one of the upper echelon or could be like, I'm half-assing it. He didn't half-ass this one, dude. He was ready to rock. Yeah, and he brought some fucking heat.
And that's what we needed.
I know, dude.
We needed that from Holly, man.
I don't want Holly at the fucking golf course with his buddies, okay?
No.
I want to hang out with him there.
Well, there's been some times where I've talked to him and be like, hey, you want to do this? And he's like, yeah, I'll be in the car, no problem.
No, we need you to
I
need you
chilling.
By Darcy. I need you chilling with Coda Go.
You got to have Coda
Go. I need you fucking at your house with the fucking people blowing the fucking leaves off your goddamn
that's right.
backyard or whatever, you know?
That's what we need.
And we got it.
We did.
And it worked.
We did.
We're going to pump this up like no other, baby.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, that interview was brought to you by CarShield and CarShield.com. Again, they'll probably help you with your allergies too. They help you with everything. CarShield,
just like Dan Bellman has sushi.
Yeah.
Stop promising people bullshit. Well, CarShield already gives enough. No.
We got people in here sneezing.
CarShield already gives enough. They don't have to give out fucking Claritin. Okay, Dick.
Oh, it may come with a subscription.
I do take Claritin, by the way.
Dude, it doesn't work.
It does.
Does it?
Andy, I woke up sneezing like a motherfucker.
I'll tell you how it went next time.
My little boo-boo was cold this morning.
I'm going to an allergist for the first time. I've got an appointment. She's apparently very good.
You're a fancy lad.
I'll let you know how it goes. I've never been to one, dude. I've dealt with this my whole life. It's time to get a hold of it.
I'm going to an allergist now. I'm sneezing. Pussy.
It's time to get
Take
a hold
some
of it.
Fucking medicine and suck it up. It
doesn't work.
Pussy.
My allergies are so bad it doesn't work. I don't have little like...
I need to go to allergy therapy. They need to talk to me about my sniffles. That's what you're fucking doing in the wealthy part.
800-857-2481, carshow.com. Mention the promo code CAM, which is so embarrassing. But I tell you that because you're going to save money. You're going to save 10%. So again, don't be stuck with a engine issue. Your computer goes out in your car. I mean, even the flat tire or something great,
embarrassing.
Your starter goes out.
Oh, dudes.
Your alternator.
Oh, my God. You even know what that means.
No, I do.
I can get under the car and change my own oil. But if
too.
Your fucking starter doesn't go out and you're like, hi, everybody. Bye.
No, I know. You told us that
fucking
story.
Fucking embarrassing. No one care if you did it because they didn't know who you were. But for me, it's big time.
That's not in Eureka.
It's big time. Oh, anywhere in St. Louis, really.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What?
It wouldn't happen in my car because I drive black tie. I mean, let's be honest. So
that's
when
true.
When you drive black tie.
Ellie just texted me, by the way.
You'll never have that.
What'd she say? She goes, I need to talk to you.
Ooh.
No, in a cool way, meaning like I probably have something for you.
Wow.
What's she going to say? I don't like you anymore,
Cam?
Let's find out.
800-857-2481. We should call her live on the show.
I know.
Find out what that is.
Well, she's
part
so
of the
cool.
deal is you're not allowed to drive a car that's cooler than me. So I'll be
well,
the
I
judge.
Need you. Well, time out. I could drive a bullshit car and still look cool, or I need you to look cool because you're not cool enough. So you need to drive that Porsche.
The other night. When everybody's out after the game, and we go back, everybody's going to the parking lot because we're like, you know, the place closed.
Get your mind around.
No, the place closed when we're leaving.
Get your mind
around. I'm like, look at Stricky driving the BMW. I'm like, yeah.
That's what I want. That's why I want you in that because otherwise you're driving like some fucking whatever car.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're with Cam. Oh, he's not that cool.
So drive black tie. Yeah. Again, just get the app and download the app. You choose which membership you want. You want bronze? Silver.
I want that motherfucking platinum.
Gold, platinum.
I want that fucking platinum.
Drive something like
sexy
responsible. Like Cam drives the bronze level. Economy cars, there's nothing wrong with that. Can drive something like fun, like a sports car. Or you could drive something exotic, like a G-Wagon or something.
Or a Maserati.
Dude. Maserati.
So it's like...
May fall in the fun category.
You can pay a little bit of amount, and then all of a sudden you pick out different cars.
I know.
And if you're picking up chicks, and you're fucking 27.
That's the way you do
it. Listen to me. And you're like, fuck, hey, girl, like let's go here tonight. And you fucking drive in a Corvette. Next weekend, you're like, I'm going to pick that fucking.
Message us. I'll hook you up.
I'm going to get this Maserati. Now you fucking take her out in a Maserati. And she's like, oh, my God.
She's like, when's the second
Your breast stink.
Now, when's the
you're
second
not that
day?
Yeah. You're overweight. You dress like shit.
But you
drive black tie. I'm fun to bang you. So that's how it goes, dude. So you look fucking wealthy, man. Yeah. It is what it
you
is.
You look wealthy.
You kind of do. Because you got different cars. You don't
know,
tell. Just
know,
fuck, that's
know.
What you do.
So drive black tie and do it today.
Yeah, you're taking girls out, man, with different cars, badass cars like that. They're like, whoa, you're kind of cool.
Again, daredevilhockey.com. The promo code Cam and Strick save 25%. Take your game to the next level while being protected. I mean, it's lightweight. Kevlar cut-resistant fabric.
Easy fucking...
Do you want your kid getting sliced up by an ice skate?
You're not a good parent. Then you're not a good parent. Dude, look. If I fell down and I got hurt, I had to get up. My dad would be like, get the fuck up, let's go. But if there's equipment that would help me with shit, my dad's... tough. I'm not a pussy. It doesn't matter. Like that's you're not being a pussy if you want to fucking help your arm. Dude, I'm telling you guys.
You can't protect yourself from
The practices. Watch Lil Ty. Andy knows. He watches all these practices all goddamn long. These kids are falling over each other all the fucking time. They're cutting each other in the goddamn neck. They're cutting each other in the wrist, on the ankle, on the fucking back of the calf. This shit protects you. You're not a pussy for fucking... You're not wearing double neck guards and masks and shit like that. Yeah. It's for your arteries, man. And you have weapons. Your stick could cut you. Your fucking skate can cut you, guys. You're falling over each other all the goddamn time. I tried this shit out the other night. I looked so jacked in it. You weren't there because of the thing. What happened, Bobby and all that stuff, and we were there. I felt so damn good. I should have took a picture.
I'm going to wear it Wednesday.
Yeah, but we're not going to take a picture of you.
No, we are.
It might hurt.
I'll
business.
Look better than Carlo looks in his. I'll tell you that. I mean, Carlo.
You said it.
Carlo, that's,
you said it. I mean, I'm on with him tomorrow.
Is that good? Is that good for business or not? When Carlo's putting
Carlo
this stuff on.
Carlo just ate like a bunch of pasta, which he. We love you, Carlo, so much.
He's got the helmet on too. I'm like, what
the fuck is
this?
He doing?
I'm like, all right, he sent it. He wants it in there.
Oh God, Carlo.
But Carlo Kuryakovo played a long time. Long time NHL defenseman.
I love
him. And we love Coco.
Oh God, he's so sweet.
He personally endorses this. So does the Canadian Hockey League, the CHL.
They should,
dude.
As they should.
So
I'm gonna take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do
it. You'll probably look worse than Carlo.
I'll look so fucking sexy, dude. I was staring at myself in the mirror.
Were you?
Because I thought we were taking pictures that day. Yeah. I'm like, I look motherfucking good.
Yes, so was I, actually.
Oh, you did? I didn't notice that.
No, I'm going to put it on. I can't wait to wear that. Ty looks good in his, too.
He looks really good.
Like jacked, actually.
He looks like Taylor Hall.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, he'd have more goals than Hall.
Andy,
I'll tell you that.
Andy, he looks like Taylor
Hall.
No,
is.
He does. Like,
I used to get annoyed when I was a kid when people would spell Brett Hall, H-A-L-L. It would drive me crazy.
What moron fucking did that?
Like in
No. Yeah, what moron did
like
that?
Like in grade school or something.
Just don't,
you know,
like,
you know, you just can't do that.
Ninth grade education. I never fucked that up.
You can't.
You can't. If you're a hockey fan and you fuck Hall's name up.
No, you can't do that.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm not taking a picture with you in fucking Kevlar by any stretch.
Oh,
it's
no,
gonna
I'm going to be
business.
In the car.
No, it's going to hurt the business.
Dude.
They're going to make this.
Carlo already took a picture of himself wearing it.
So we have to help him out now. Carlo, we love you
we
so
love
much.
It.
We love you so much, dude, but that picture could. He's like,
hi everybody.
Hey.
Rent me.
Hi. They're like, what the fuck
I'll
is this?
I'll come to your birthday party.
Carlo.
Remember that TV show Double Dare back in the day?
Yes.
And they wore hockey helmets on it? He looked like he was on Double Dare, like on the set. He's about to have some slime poured on his head.
Get that green slime on you, Carlo. No. Look, I wore that shit, and it was so fucking comfortable. I'm going to take pictures of it.
Daredevil hockey.
It's unbelievable. Jeff Brown wants it now because his kids
he does. He does.
Up.
And
goddamn
and
right.
Same with the – we're going to hook up the Quinn
all the
Quinn
all
the
big
too.
Fucking boys want
I know,
all the big boys. That's what we do.
All right. And we keep it handsome too. Again, keepithandsome.com. Promo code Cam and Strick. You're going to save 15%. Again, get that hair shampoo, conditioner, the beard gel, the beard moisturizer. I use it 2, 3, sometimes 5 times a day depending on how I feel.
Stop wasting it.
That particular day.
With that stupid fuck
and
beard.
Get that Fight Ugly hat. Get the Fight Ugly hoodie and get it today, dude. Again, a portion of the proceeds go back to the Montreal Resource Center. Be sure to check that out and support a good cause. We are anti-bullying.
Goddamn
as
right.
You can tell.
Hey, I got pissed on.
Yes, you did.
And I kind of liked it, but I didn't like it that much.
Yeah,
so we had to
right.
take
you
care
like
of that.
It too much. I don't know.
Maybe you're right on that. Yeah. Don't get pissed on unless you like it. That's the bottom line. That's the moral of the story. Now we took Raven and we took care of him.
Yeah, okay.
He did piss on me, and then he did catch me with a good right. I think after I fought in the bathroom.
Yeah. Okay. Bellman.com, BehlmanN.com.
He likes doing that too.
He's cool as shit. I know he loved this interview.
Oh my God.
With Brett Hull.
You know, Danny Boy's fucking chilling.
Oh,
he's
going
to kick his fucking feet up.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be like, I just got done grinding. I sold some fucking cars. I took care of BLA. Now it's holy
probably
time.
Took a blue chew.
He probably took a blue chew. Just for this. We love him, dude. He's a fucking man.
He's the
dude.
Best.
Hey, look, your wife can go in there and buy cars. And
yes,
I don't need
can.
To say swinging dick. I'm not going to say swinging dick.
No, don't say
I'm not going to do it.
No, you don't have
There's
to.
No swinging dicks there because I'm not going to say it.
No.
But the point is your wife can go in there and actually like be comfortable.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Like that's the best feeling.
And that is the best feeling.
I know. They'll take care of it too.
So again, Dan Bellman, Bellman.com, the Cadillac, the Buick, the GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, all in Troy, Missouri. Again, you have a used car. They'll buy that from you
fucking
too.
Fucking A.
So how easy is that?
Oh, shit.
Over there with Bellman.
Bellman. Fucking badass, motherfucker.
All right, this has been episode number 127. Brett Hull. As advertised.
He brought the heat, too, didn't he?
On the Cam and Strick podcast.
Love it.